All right, everybody, Joel Radio back with you. What's going on, everybody? Big show for you today. I guess I should talk about we've moved studios.
Yeah, sure, the Joel Studios.
The Corey Hall wing of the Joel Radio Studios. So Corey has hosted us, and we're doing this on a mobile rig, a smaller rig.
Yes.
But it seems fine, though, right? Like, it seems like this
They would
work.
Never know the difference.
Yeah, I think they might. But hopefully this sounds good. I have some pretty good equipment here. I have a nice Tascam 4-track digital recorder today.
Well.
Yes. As our audience goes and jerks themselves as they look this up on Amazon.
Somewhere on the tram, a passenger moved a seat over because a man got a boner.
Well, this is pretty nice.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea is, you know, ideally, like, if it didn't have a mic input, we could, like, pull these mics apart.
Were you in the AV club in high school?
Yes. I used to push the card in every week.
That was a good deal.
Watch
that, I'll tell you, that was a good deal because I did that.
Oh, yeah?
Well, I was in all the plays.
Yeah.
So the auditorium manager, the guy who, like, ran the building, was also in charge of the AV stuff.
Okay.
And so I got one in, like, my senior year, I got a credit for being his intern, and he would get, like, big plates of donut rolls every morning. He'd go to the he'd go and get, like, a sheet of, like, cinnamon rolls. So literally, I'd sit around and drink coffee with him, like, half the time, and then I'd wheel out, like, 3 AV cards.
Yeah.
Because back then, you had to roll out a VCR and a TV to the room. Right. Now they're all built in.
Is that every room's got something?
I think a lot of the newer high schools, they, like, Troy High, they built the whole new thing.
Oh, really?
And there's TVs built into the wall.
Because they would move in, you'd either get the, later you would get the VHS tape. You know, that's when I was in high school. But back in the day, you would get either the film.
A projector.
You'd get the movie projector or the film strip. Yeah. Remember the film strip? And there was a cassette, and it would go ding.
Yeah.
And then you'd have to turn. Right. And then, you know, sometimes the teacher would let one of the students operate.
Charlie is experiencing feelings of regret. Have you ever felt regret? Bing!
But then, you know, like, the student, like, they'd let one of the students do it, and then they'd get behind, and everyone would yell at the guy.
Yeah.
Like, you're behind! You go back! You went too fast! You went two instead of one!
It was
a stressful job, I think, to do that.
No, that was a
the film strip
That
guy.
Was the best class, because I got a credit for it. Yeah. I didn't have to really do much. I'd show up. It was first hour, so I didn't have to get there, like, on the minute, because Bob didn't give a shit.
Okay.
Like, you know what I mean? If I came in at 8:03, 4, I wasn't going to get in trouble. And then I'd sit there and drink coffee and eat the cinnamon rolls and then roll out a cart.
Well,
and all the burnouts did that class.
Really? Okay.
It was like, you can get a credit for that.
But I remember, like, the AV guy got to go, like, into the classrooms where, like, all the cute girls were. Like, they weren't in your class necessarily. So you got to go to, like, every class if you were on the
AV. I would just roll the...
Yeah, you just roll it.
There'd
from,
be like, we have,
say,
you got 4 of these to take
They
to
would
classes.
Call down and then they'd say, okay, fifth hour, you need to be at the social studies and you go down there. That's okay. I was a chemistry lab aide. How nerdy is that?
Oh, God.
Generally, that meant I took attendance. Occasionally, I'd go in the back to get some muriatic acid or whatever, some hydrochloric acid. You know, the teacher would go, Joel, can you go get the hydrochloric acid? So, yes, Mr. Hayfield, let me go get the hydrochloric acid.
That sounds like
acid.
A good deal.
Yeah, and I'd go get hydrochloric acid, or I'd go get some test tubes out of the thing. And then I'd go in and I'd basically veg out for an hour. It wasn't bad.
Yeah.
I'd sit the teacher at his desk, and I'd sit next to the teacher and listen to his lecture. And I was like the teacher's aide for chemistry. Senior year.
When I was a freshman in high school, early on, I used one of the public bathrooms. And I was in the stall. And this guy, Adam Perry, who was this big drunk football player, who would, like, literally come to shirtless. He'd come to school shirtless, like, with a fifth of Jack Daniels in his hand. Like, literally, he was just a complete anarchy party animal. And he comes banging on the stall door, and he's like, I left something in there! You know, and I'm like, oh, Jesus. And I'm like, I'm trying to shit here.
Yeah.
So I never at once after that used the... I would go down and walk over to the auditorium to use the bathroom.
Oh.
In peace.
And now he's...
Because there were bathrooms, you know, dressing... Yeah, I'm sure he's on parole.
Now he's the president of Google.
Yeah, exactly.
He's now running the information
age. He's at Bank of America.
Well, anyway. All right, so here's an update from last week, last show.
Yes.
We talked about Charlie Sheen getting AIDS, all that stuff, HIV. And I was like, well, thank God I was with Charlie Sheen before he knew all that was going on. Turns out, as I did more research, that story just broken. Turns out Charlie Sheen, best we can make the estimate, and I saw this on TMZ, is that he found out in May of 2011 that he was HIV positive. Mm. I did the Gathering of the Juggalos with him in August of 2011.
Wow.
So let me redact some of what I said about last time on the show.
Exactly.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm still not worried. Well, aside from sharing a microphone,
right.
That's all I did with Charlie.
Other than his cock being in my mouth lovingly. I have no concerns. Other than I licked his shaft and his balls. But
you can't get HIV from jizz on your forehead, right, Corey? Is that
just
hypothetically?
It didn't get in my mouth. He just maybe a little bit on my
blowback. Yeah,
on my glasses a little bit.
Off the, but no, I mean potentially if he slept with a woman there and then I slept with that woman, I guess you could.
Well,
but none of that happened.
What are the chances that
Charlie Sheen slept with a woman? Impossible.
No, that you and Charlie were pulling the same talent. That's the
yeah. You've never been to the Gathering.
That's
We use the word talent. It doesn't mean the same thing.
Medium talent.
Oh, medium talent. By the way, that's in the special, that line.
Yes, he does
say
that.
He says, can
that.
You get somebody with a medium talent?
He does say that.
We'll talk about the Bill Murray Christmas special in a minute here. But yeah, so that's a little update on Charlie Sheen. But again, I'm fine.
Good.
Look at me. I'm a bloated mess. There's no HIV in me.
You were just
I'm as fat as ever.
Joel's trying to watch his weight, and he turned down a chocolate-covered pretzel.
Corey, yeah.
Now, I would say
no.
HIV would be a quick way to lose some weight. I think that would really.
So, yeah, if you fuck Charlie Sheen, hit me up, because I'm looking to drop some LBs.
Not to quote Chevy Chase.
No.
Another SNL great.
Yeah.
Who said to Terry Sweeney, the gay cast member, I've got a bit idea. We'll tell everybody you have AIDS and then we'll weigh you each week.
It's not a bad bit.
It's not a bad
bit. Hey, we should steal that. Let me write that in my notes. Be for next week.
This was like 1986. So,
find HIV positive person to weigh.
Well, all right. Not that, you know, we don't know that Charlie Sheen's a scumbag.
Yeah.
But he got this in 2010.
Yeah, he found out early in 2011.
Okay, and then when Brie Olsen was his girlfriend for like 2 years, lived with him, shared him with another girl on a regular basis. Well, they had another girl that lived in the house was part of the, you know, coupling, thrippling, whatever you want to call it.
The goddesses.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, granted, she's a porn actress, so it's kind of like, my chances of being shot are lower than a guy who works like at a gun range. Maybe I don't.
Sure,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
or whatever.
Police officer. Yeah.
Okay. You know, I'm going to be in less NASCAR crashes than a NASCAR driver. But still, you know, what a scumbag.
Yeah, and you know, if you read, you know, that blind item page, I put a link to that on the last show. I know we talked about that, and I didn't put it in the official write up of the show. But if you look in the comments on JewelRadio.net, you'll see the link to that. They had Charlie, you know, since we've did the show, they had some updates, and apparently they had Charlie with male, like the porn star girlfriend, not Brie Olsen, but I think the newer one.
The other one.
Was bringing, like, male porn stars to join them in the bedroom. And that sounds like that's how you, that's bingo right there, right?
I'm shocked.
That's the, you know.
Well, that's probably the most likely way, but with Charlie Sheen, it's like...
It could, yeah, who knows?
Any, you know, considering what he was ingesting and excreting from his body into any orifice or hole possible, you know what I mean? Like, there's multiple ways that could
because
happen.
Because the one thing I did say, I think it was the original Radar report had guys mentioned as well, so that was...
Well, there you go.
There you go. So that could have been male porn stars.
Wow.
Because that is, when you go like, hey, you know... You know, believe me, if I ever come up to you and say, hey, just, you know, hey, Corey, so you know, this is male porn star I'm hanging out with, be worried. Would be ground zero
in fairness,
disease and whatever. And no offense to porn stars.
But in fairness, there's been female porn stars that hang out at the Gathering. At least a couple. Anybody who's in porn is already at
the
maximum
risk with the male porn star.
There's a much greater risk of them being HIV positive. Oh, Charlie, what a schmuck. Speaking of another scumbag.
Well, who's that?
Drug addict, idiot. Scott Weiland.
Oh, you want to memorialize Temple. Him?
I just want to say this.
Yeah.
There was a, you know, he Scott Weiland passed away the other day.
Lead singer of Stone Temple Pilots and Velvet Revolver.
Right.
Which was the Guns N' Roses.
And I saw many of the friends on my Facebook feed say, oh, what a bummer, and I loved STP in college, and they were a great influence on me. And none of those people was my age or older.
Yeah, you're right.
Not one soul a day older than me liked STP, as far as in my estimation, right?
Yeah.
And you're a couple years older than me.
Well, it's not about age. It was like when they came out. They were considered the ripoff act.
Right.
They were the marketed, pushed, you know, pretenders to the throne of Nirvana and Pearl Jam. They were sort of the first act that really was, we're going to go sign a grunge band, you know, like we're just going to take this band and market them as to grunge. And, you know, they had hits. And the thing is, like, people that are our age that liked them didn't have the taste then to know the difference. And obviously, as you get younger and younger people, well, to them, they don't see the difference at all.
Yeah.
Because they just bought some 90s compilation that Stone Temple Pilots and these other things. Well, and it all sounds the same to them.
I think there's also a tonal shift, and this will come back up in many elements of this show. There's a difference between millennials and Gen Xers.
Okay.
In terms of, I think my generation is the last one that really gave a shit about, like, selling out. Or, like, integrity was a big thing.
Sure.
And I specifically remember that STP was vilified.
Oh, absolutely.
In every magazine I read back then. In 1993, in Spin and NME and Music Maker and all the Melody Maker, sorry. Like, all those magazines that you would hang out at the record store and read all these magazines and blog, not even blogs. They didn't have blogs.
They had blogs.
They had, like, zines.
You would read Rolling Stone.
There were zines.
And Spin and, like, Alternative Press in America. And then, you had the zines. But then in England, you had the weekly papers, NME, Melody Maker.
Right.
Sounds was around for some
Alternative Press was a big one.
Yeah. Alternative Press was a big one. And yeah, those things, they all got ripped in those. But, you know, they had some hits. They had some songs that are decent. If I had my... because the way we're recording this, I can't play music on the show. But we would, you know, Plush is pretty good. And
I just did
a couple songs.
It just, to me, I never liked them for a second because at the time I was into I was into Mudhoney.
Exactly.
And all the bands that didn't get as big.
But here's the problem with that, though.
Yeah.
The problem with that is that doesn't really, that was unfair too.
Probably.
That was snobbish on a different level. I mean, granted, you know, you had years, you know, that when they were pushing Rat and Scorpions and Poison down our throats, that when you said, okay, here's Nirvana and Mudhoney and Pearl Jam.
It was a breath of fresh air.
It was a breath of fresh air. But at the same time, you can't be a snob then and go, oh, Nirvana's so great, but Stone Temple Pilots are a bunch of fucking ripoff posers. But
the
music wasn't authentic, though.
Everybody liked Nirvana, but they became big multi-platinum selling artists.
And Stone Temple Pilots, the music wasn't quite as good.
I think what happened...
The songs weren't as well written.
What really happened between, like, 92 and 96 is that the bands that I liked in 92 that were cool and underground all went mainstream.
Right.
Like, Red Hot Chili Peppers went from, you know, being a California act that you kind of knew a little bit... to being this, like, big stadium tour.
Well, yeah, they were
band.
A ska band that toured in, you know, the late 80s, I remember them being
and
around.
And yeah, there was a point where Lemonheads were a mainstream band. You know what I mean? Like,
right, yeah, I know.
Liz Phair was on Letterman doing, you know, like, videos. So I think about 95, 96, all that stuff hit, and I think Stone Temple Pilots, for me, epitomized the beginning of the commercialization.
Yeah, they hit in 93, I think.
And I think that's when...
I'm saying they were the first... You know, 91 was when all that stuff broke. So it took the record companies from the end of 91 till 93 to finally start pushing out these.
I am a snob. Acts. I've never apologized for being a snob.
No. And,
but, you know, to me, that's why STP was just always garbage. I never liked them.
And you're right. And you're right to say that. And it's also, I think it's another example of that where, you know, the alternative guys were like, man, those metal guys are wastoids and drug addicts. Yeah. And now how many of those guys have OD'd? How many of those guys have done stupid shit?
Right.
Just like all the rock stars that came before them. So the whole snobbish thing about, you know, we're so much better and legit. Yeah, that's all kind of bullshit too now. I think history has shown us.
Well, some
that
of
those guys, you know, to I mean, me, the Alice in Chains, you know, Lane Staley right. from Alice in Chains and, you know, now
well,
Scott Weiland.
I didn't really care for them all that much.
Well,
either.
But, you know, people did. And, right. And they were considered a real deal.
To me, I was always mystified that, like, Afghan Whigs wasn't as big a deal as Stone Temple Pilots. But, I you know, it just seemed like they hit the right groove. And the kids that were a little bit younger than me, like I said, when I was 18, the kids who were 14 loved them.
Yeah.
So it just seems like everybody who liked them was a little bit younger.
The old
hippie dudes hated the Monkees.
Yeah.
Because that was all phony and contrived.
That's true.
Now, I love the Monkees, and I think they had the best songwriters in Hollywood working for them.
The Monkees have their place, but maybe I think a better analogy might be like the Doors. Which, because I always feel like the Doors were not really respected in their day.
Yeah.
That in a way, I don't think
it's hard for us to gauge.
The Doors, I don't think, were ever considered on the level of the Beatles, the Stones, you know, the biggest acts of the 60s. I always felt like the Doors were a little second rate or third rate, almost like a Stone Temple Pilots. And then when Jim Morrison died, it became, they became bigger than life and this legendary act. But I think had they continued, I think they would have been, I don't know what the equivalent of been, maybe something like the Byrds or something where, a couple of those Doors. Yeah, Light My Fire is pretty good. You know, people would say that, but I don't think anyone would remember the act.
But that's, again, a generational thing.
It's a generational
where
thing.
You and I
think the Doors were considered legends when we were kids.
We also have a tendency to group all the music of the time into a block.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's, like, oldies. You know, if you go to the 60s on 6, they play everything.
Yeah.
Well, those people didn't listen to everything. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like my dad listened to, like, Wilson Pickett, and he did not listen to Moby Grape.
Yeah.
You know, those were different worlds.
Right.
So I think with the STP, it's real easy to go, well, that was grunge. But for me and my friends and the fucking record store snobs that I hung out with, we didn't think of them in the same bracket.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I agree with you. And look, it's sad when anybody ODs, and I don't.
Right.
But, you know,
oh, did you see his ex-wife wrote the letter about.
I didn't read it because
don't
that would just bum me out.
Don't celebrate. She was like, he turned up in 3 pictures with his kids in 15 years.
Oh, great.
It was really about what a horrible father he was.
But I mean, we haven't done a Death Pool in years, but I think even back when we did,
he was always on it.
I think he was always on it because he was always in some kind of trouble getting arrested or ODing. So yeah, people saw this coming. It's not a surprise, but rest in peace, Scott. May you find some peace, and may the Stone Temple Pilots guys make lots of money off the inevitable rush to buy the Stone Temple Pilots records now that he's dead. So, good luck. Maybe they'll become the new Doors. They should be so lucky.
Yeah, I guess.
Stone Temple guys. All right, let's move on here. Well, the big thing is, I guess I should, do you want to do the Bernie Sanders thing? Should I talk about that?
Knock it out.
Well, I've sort of ruined the whole bit now, haven't I, by saying what it is. But, you know, they did this, Western Illinois University does a, this isn't the big story of the week, but just it was just interesting to me. They do this poll amongst their students. It's some sort of a political science class or something they do every election cycle. And they try to figure out by polling the students who's going to be the next president. Now, they don't just merely just say, raise your hands if you think Hillary Clinton's going to be the next president. Raise your hand if Donald Trump's going to be the next president. They actually go through and they recreate, they try to guess, you know, the winner of the Iowa caucuses, the winner of the New Hampshire primary, all that. And they go all the way down the line. They look at who's going to get momentum from winning these things, who's going to drop out, to figure out who the next president is going to be. And they started doing this in 1975, and they predicted that Jimmy Carter would be the president, when at the time he had very little chance. He was way behind in the polls to Ford. And then in 2008, they predicted Barack Obama would become the president, when at the time he wasn't even the Democratic nominee and was trailing in the polls to Hillary Clinton, and yet they said Barack Obama would win the presidency. So they did this week, and so they haven't been wrong since 1975, and they came out this week, they did their study, their poll, and they say that Bernie Sanders will be the next president of the United States. And my knee-jerk reaction is, well, I guess you're going to eventually get it wrong.
Yeah, right. I so, mean, you know.
Look, we could listen to this show in a year from now, and I could have been dead wrong.
Now,
but it seems here,
now,
a little implausible.
It's much like football punditry. The Detroit Lions, the hapless Detroit Lions, crushed the Philadelphia Eagles 45-13. Is that what it was? 14?
Something like that, yeah.
Right.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah. They mollywopped them.
Yeah.
They gave them a mushroom tattoo and gave them a good old-fashioned house whipping.
Yeah.
Then, this week, the Eagles beat the Patriots.
Yes.
Like 35-20.
They did, but they changed quarterbacks. They got Sam Bradford back. That was part of it.
Right. But I would think people would have probably, the Vegas money would have laid the money on the Patriots.
The Patriots, I don't know what the line was.
I don't know what the vig and the cover and all that stuff.
The Patriots came back and I think only lost by 7 or 6 or something, 8.
But, you know what I mean? Like, if you would, in your fantasy knockout pool, went, well, I'm going to pick the Patriots over the Eagles, no one would have thought you were crazy.
Right, yeah.
So, once in a while, these things go completely haywire. I think Bernie's support is probably somewhat invisible to pollsters and, you know what I mean? I think more people like Bernie than are either willing to admit it or don't have a landline phone or any. I think the media's really gotten away from. I don't think Bernie's going to win either, but I think maybe he might have a bigger following
than
they want to admit.
I just see Bernie Sanders and not in any way his politics, but I see him as Ross Perot. Or I see him as, who's the other guy, Ralph Nader.
Yeah.
One of these guys, you know, that Ron Paul, kind of that outsider candidate that
more
everybody
More of a spoiler
likes.
Than a real
That's
thing.
More of a spoiler. Those guys have never won. Ross Perot's the closest anyone's ever came, and I think he got 15% of the vote or something, or maybe it was more than 20%. It was actually enough to cost Bush the election that year. But Bernie's actually because
I think Clinton only won with 40%.
Because it was split three ways that year. It was the most any third party candidate had ever gotten was Ross Perot. So I don't he's got to win the Democratic nomination, obviously, because she's not going to do that as a third party candidate.
And that's where the rubber hits the road.
Yeah, absolutely.
All these guys do well early on. Yeah. I didn't like Huckabee win Iowa once.
I think Howard Dean did, or did Howard Dean lose Iowa when he was supposed to win it, and that's what sunk
in? Howard Dean was real hot, and then fell apart.
Yeah.
Well, whichever one he won, and he went, woo!
Yeah.
And they all thought that was crazy
talk. I thought he lost and then did that speech, and then they
That was a weird
him.
Thing where I don't know if Howard Dean did anything differently.
I don't think he did.
But they just suddenly, everybody turned on him.
I think because he was the front runner, and then when he lost the primary, or he didn't win by as much as they thought, everyone turned on him and went
one,
you suck.
There's no edge in being the front runner.
Why? Because everybody's the front runner for a certain amount of time.
Pioneers get slaughtered.
Their chance.
And if you're Hillary Clinton and Rudy Giuliani in 2008 were destined. That was going to be the matchup. Everybody said Giuliani and Clinton. How'd that turn out? You know, it didn't.
Well,
I think voters tend to think like, you know who's going to be president? Fuck you. That's what's going to be. You know what I mean? Like, whenever there's an inevitable front runner, and then this whole Trump thing is going to eventually, it's got to go away at some point.
Well,
when the actual votes happen, I think people will say they like Trump. I think people will.
People will go, we want Trump, and then, but they not have the guts.
And then they're
going to
get in the voting booth and go,
Well, but what's the? But here's the problem with Trump.
Who's the alternative?
It's this fucking what's this doctor's name?
Oh, Carson. Yeah.
Ben Carson. Yeah. Okay, I'm not. Look, I don't know. This is what I know. I feel like I know Ben Carson. This is what I know.
Mm-hmm.
I've met a lot of. I don't know how many doctors I've met in my life.
Yeah,
I believe he is the dumbest doctor, based on this, I've ever met in my entire life. I listen to him speak and I go, look, and I'm not saying that makes him a shitty doctor, but you know that he's not, you know, he's not a bright guy.
I have discovered this in the legal profession since that is where my wife works.
Mm-hmm.
Not every lawyer is, they passed the bar, but that doesn't mean that they know what they're talking about.
Right.
And Ben Carson is an amazing thing where you're like, how did he get through med school? Because he seems to literally know. Now, if I asked him about, you know, my cardiac infractions, in the left aorta or whatever. I mean, he might be able to tell me all of the details.
He would know way more than you
on
about that.
On thoracic medicine.
But it seems like if you just give him a problem, I'm not sure
he can solve
it. Well, look, Dr. Right, Oz is a guy who's a crackpot. And he's also considered a great heart surgeon. But apparently on this Dr. Oz show, he's giving all kinds of crackpot
advice. If we went to Dr. Oz and you said,
I went to Dr.
What are your top three Robert Altman movies?
Yeah, he wouldn't know.
Would he be like, well, you know, I really like Thieves Like Us. That's underrated.
Right, yeah.
You know, because Carradine and John Shuck are just great in that. And I really, you know, I also am a big fan of, you know, California Split. That doesn't get talked about enough with, you know, with George Segal. You know, George Segal's great. I mean, really, who was better in comedic performing? You know, Bye Bye Braverman or the Owl and the Pussycat? No, he's not going to do that. Because he doesn't know what the fuck he... That's the problem with being president is. I feel like Obama, it's hard to stump him.
Well,
all the things you say about Obama,
I don't know
if somebody goes, did you hear that new Fetty Wap single? He'd be like, yeah, you know.
I don't require a president things like Robert Altman movies, but I think it's like when you give somebody...
Now, hold on, sir.
No, that's not what I require. You can require whatever the fuck you want.
The finest filmmaking of the 70s.
I just don't know that. I think if you give Ben Carson a problem... and ask him to solve it, I'm not sure that's the guy I want doing it.
Oh, no, he's a...
I take Donald Trump in a just solve this issue deal. I think I would more go with Donald Trump.
Carson is a more upscale Herman Cain.
Oh, God.
In which Republicans went...
God, I was a complete idiot.
We got a black friend.
This is what I want.
Look at this. We got
a
black friend.
Fine. You know what you do? Okay, listen. This is what I want you to do. I'm putting you in charge of this.
Uh-huh.
I want you to go down to the gas station on the corner here behind your house. Go get Alan Keyes from behind the counter and make him run for president.
Exactly.
Because that guy was smart. He won every debate. You know, every Republican debate with Alan Keyes, when they polled people afterwards.
Well, Alan Keyes
won every debate. And it was against Bush and who was running against Bush on the Republican side at that point?
Oh, was Alan Keyes? Are we talking like the 2004 election?
Yeah, I think we're talking 2000 or 2004.
2004?
It would have been Bush on the Republican side and...
Huckabee, probably?
Yeah, maybe.
Whoever was running against him.
But,
yeah.
I mean, Alan Keyes was running circles around these guys.
Right.
The guy was a genius.
Do you remember the movie Amazon Women on the Moon?
Yes.
There's a sketch in there called Black People Without Soul.
David Alan Greer.
Yeah, David Alan Greer's finest hour.
Without Soul, yes.
They're like, we're black people born without soul. Alan Keyes is exactly that.
He sings that. Yeah, it's a pretty funny.
You just see Alan Keyes in like a Argyle sweater.
Right. Well, that's fine.
Listen, guys. Now let's calm down here for a moment, and let's talk about my soul brothers.
But that guy's perfect.
And get funky.
I'm voting for him if he runs. I'm committing to Alan Keyes. Alan Keyes 2016.
Didn't they
crowd surfed him at some rally?
I think it was like Michael Moore was shooting at something.
The TV Nation.
Yeah,
and they got
him to crowd surf.
Could have happened.
Oh, yeah. But Carson's a joke.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But that's the thing. It's a clown car. None of the guys are any good. I like Bernie, but the problem with him is much like Giuliani. Where Biden said every third word is, you know, it's a noun, a verb, and 9/11.
Yeah.
Bernie is always on message to the point where it's like, Bernie, what did you think about Star Wars The Force Awakens trailer?
Yeah.
Well, I think it was interesting. We don't know much.
Yeah.
But I think that the Empire represents the top 1%, and they are keeping good jobs away from the rebels. You know what I mean? Bernie would find a way to get back on message.
When we talked a few weeks ago, and I can't remember if it was on the show or off the show, but I said, well, it looks like Hillary Clinton is going to be the president almost by default because she's going to run.
Yeah.
Bernie's too wacky for everybody. And the Republicans are a bunch of morons. So by default, it's Hillary Clinton. Yeah. And I still kind of stand by that. I don't know what Western Illinois University is. You can read that article. I'll put up a link to it. Did you read through that? I know I sent it to you.
I glanced it. Yeah, I looked at it.
I mean, there's not a whole lot more than I said, but, you know.
Polling college students, which
No, but they're polling them. You have to read it more deeply into. They're polling them as the students are representing certain. You know, they take a group of students and say, okay, you're the Iowa caucus.
Well, they also felt that Bernie's going to be running against Jeb Bush.
Yeah, that's the other thing that's a little...
Well, they said Bernie's vice president will be Martin O'Malley, Martin O'Malley seems to be running for vice president because he's certainly not running for... There's these guys on the bottom of the Republican ticket, like Jim Gilmore or whatever. You're like, who the fuck are you?
And they've got Bush Rubio as the Republican ticket, I think, in that...
Rubio is plausible as a VP.
I don't know.
In terms of, you know what I mean? Like, somebody goes, we'll take him. He's got a vowel in his name.
Yeah.
Oh, this election. Can this election end?
No, absolutely. It's a year away and it sucks already.
We've been doing this shit for a year and we're not into January, and then we're going to have to do another year of this crap. You know?
Well, I will make sure that we don't cover it well. I will make sure on this show.
We will sporadically.
I say that now. And then we'll be doing it every show.
Well, we're coming up. We're in December. We're going to be getting, you know.
Primaries or what?
January, well, it's
going to
be Morning
February,
Joe,
yeah.
which started in the Iowa caucuses at a coffee shop in Ames, right, Iowa. We're going to be right back to these guys and all these assholes like Chuck Todd and you know, scarves,
out at the coffee shop,
big mittens, hanging out with a big coffee in Iowa.
Yeah.
All right, back to that.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so here's big show news. I think we're attempting this, and I think part of what we're doing today here at Corey's Place with these mics and this kind of mobile setup that I put together is we are going to try to be, I say this now, and people are going to go, you're not going to be the first, you dumbass. We're going to try to be the first podcast to review Star Wars The Force Awakens.
We'll be competitive.
Because I think people are going to see screenings. Now, what I've heard is that they may be doing screenings. Okay, the movie actually, the official release date for Star Wars is Friday, December 18th. Now, they're screening it for, they can start screening it to the public on Thursday, the 17th at 7 p.m. on the East Coast. That's the earliest legally. Now, I believe if they're going to have screenings, what they may do is they may have earlier screenings that day.
Yes.
For people, so people may be able to see it. And I also don't know if Europe and, you know, places East Australia
have the same rules.
Have the same rules if they're going to open on the 18th or the 17th.
Well, didn't Spectre open in England like 3 weeks before it did?
Yeah, but that's a British production,
right,
and it's not.
But there's things that open in different times.
But I mean, so anyway, me and Corey already have, Corey, if you're wondering who those guys are, it's us that bought the Star Wars The Force Awakens advance tickets.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to the 7 p.m. show, so the earliest legally available showing that we're going to next week. We're going to see it at 7 o'clock. Not only are we seeing it, we're seeing it in the biggest screen.
What I have on me.
That's fine. Yeah, you owe me a couple bucks, but we'll figure it out in the day. So we're going to the biggest screen. We're seeing a 3D presentation on the biggest screen in Michigan.
Yeah.
And then we'll be right down the street from Corey when we're done with that. We should be out by 9:30 or so.
Yeah, I have a movie theater that is like a 15-minute walk for me.
And it's a good movie. It's a new movie theater. It's great. So we're going to go to that one. I've already got the advance tickets. And then we're going to come back to Corey's pad and, using this setup, record the podcast. I'll go home, post it. So hopefully we're looking at midnight. 12:30, 1 a.m. on that night it released to have this out. So that's pretty quick. I mean, so we're going to try to have that review for you. Now, we're also, one thing I want to do, and we haven't really talked about it, but let's talk about it now, is when we do this show, if you're interested in seeing the movie, and we know it's going to come out so early, our review, that maybe a lot of people haven't seen it, is we'll at least make it spoiler-free for part of it. Maybe we can do 20, 25 minutes without ruining the plot details.
Okay.
And just talking about what it was like to go see it and, you know, maybe the look of it, or things that we, if we liked it, thumbs up, thumbs down, that kind of stuff. And then we can get into the nuts and bolts of the plot and everything later.
Then we'll spoil the hell out of it.
We'll spoil the fuck out of it, but then we figured that's something for people that have already seen it. And if you're a nerd that's seeing it at 7 o'clock like us, you'll be able to listen spoiler-free for the whole thing. So that's the plan for next week.
As far as I know, from talking to people, there are no press screenings scheduled as of now.
You would know, and there's not. So we're gonna go to that one. Now, here's the only hitch to that, and I know we've talked about it off the air, but, you know, these tickets, not a movie theaters now, they're reserve seats. You buy and you get a specific seat in the theater. We ain't got that, which means we're going to a 7 o'clock show. How early do the fucking super geeks that are dressed up get there for the 7 o'clock screening? And how soon do we get there?
Since I live close by, I will do some recon.
Okay. All right.
And I will perhaps...
Well...
I will perhaps check out and
see... I could come by and...
I don't think that theater is going to let people hang out in the lobby.
Well, that's the thing. I don't know. Maybe if we can just find out from the theater and we can make a plan.
You know, Star Wars geeks are a specific breed of asshole.
No, they are. They are.
Because, okay, I go to press screenings. And there's a group of people. There's about a dozen of them.
Yeah.
Plus or no, you know, their numbers swell and fall. Mm. But there's a diehard about 8 to 12 people that we call passholes.
Yes.
that somehow are getting access to these passes.
Sure.
And I think the publicists might just feed them.
They badger the publicists. That's exactly how they get them. There's websites you can go to get passes, and I'll do that and stuff,
yes,
too.
Yes, there's stuff you can
but
sign up for.
There's stuff that, like, yeah. If you badger the press people, you'll get those, yeah.
So, you know, and obviously, you know, I can go to any screening I want if I just call, but
it is the press person's job to get people to go to that screening.
So
in a way, the pass hole is really just helping.
They guarantee, okay, but these people are annoying as hell. We have names for them. There's a couple called Squiggy and Scary Mary, and because he looks a little bit like Squiggy, but these people will, like, you know, if I had like an 11 a.m. screening, which, you know, sometimes it'll happen. Well, they'll show you 2-3 movies in a day, and maybe there's one at 11, there's one at 1:30. They'd be out in the lobby when I'd come out of the first one, sitting there for the 7 o'clock movie.
Oh, so that, like, 5-6 hours early.
Oh, yeah. They'd be there at 1:30, 2 o'clock, waiting for
the 7
But they
already have a pass. I mean, look, I know that when you go to those press screenings, you get a pass. It doesn't guarantee you a seat because they oversaturate the market with passes.
Oh,
but
I went to a screening last week, and a guy comes out. As I'm walking in, there's a guy coming out the door going, "Imagine! Screw!" Or he's like, "MJR! Screw Imagine!" Because he couldn't get into the screening.
Pass, yeah.
Of the Big Short.
Well, we oh, that poor man.
Which, by the way,
how will we do?
If you want to go to the advanced screening of the Big Short, we can do that podcast immediately after.
Well, you know, the thing is, when I would go to those press screenings, because, you know, my girlfriend at the time, when I used to go to a lot of them, liked them because they were free.
Well, sure.
And they were on a night that she could go, and so we would go. But, you know, I would try to get there an hour early. So I was thinking for the Star Wars thing, 90 minutes, but is that too conservative?
I'm going to have to.
I mean, we're definitely going to get in because we have the tickets, but are we going to be able to sit next to each other? It's 3D. We don't want to sit
too
far away.
Like I live 5 minutes away from the thing. I will do a reconnaissance walkthrough at like noon or something. I'll just go over there and peek in.
So if you go at noon, and there's a bunch of guys with Yoda ears.
Yeah, we'll
and
get there earlier.
Outside. You're going to call me up and go, "Joel, get the fuck over here because we need to get in line."
I'll gauge the size of the line. And if at 2 o'clock or something, there's a big crowd,
well,
I'll say.
But is it a thing where they're going to let us line up in the corridors of the theater? We're going to have to wait outside?
I don't know.
I'm fucking wait outside.
I can't imagine that theater being real, like, willing to let people crowd their lobby.
I don't know. It's kind of a big place. They kind of could.
It's got a large lobby, but they're, you know, I don't think they're going to.
I don't know. I mean, it's funny now, movies have become, and it's funny because I was watching a bunch of Star Wars stuff, which I'll get to, by the way. As much as I'm going to put down Star Wars nerds, as I hold in my left hand a 1 1/4 page type document, which, notice, can you read the title of it? It is the, of my document here.
Is it the Star Wars Manifesto?
Yes, I wrote my Star Wars Manifesto about Star Wars and the sequels, the prequels, and what my expectations for the new movie are, which we'll get to in a second.
Well, you know, though, but we are going to get, and we'll talk about these
on the
next episode.
Yeah.
On the bonus episode, there'll be previews for
the new Star Trek. Yeah, I saw
And that. I think there might be a Batman Superman.
Oh.
And something else.
Well, who?
So we'll have to get, there'll be trailers ahead of the Force.
What I was saying about movies, though, you know, when I was watching some of the Star Wars stuff, I bought the Blu-rays since we talked last and was watching some of the bonus stuff on that, is that movies used to be a bigger deal. And I remember when I would say, you know, wait, you know, you would just go to the movie theater and you would just wait in a line to buy a ticket. And you would take whatever time show that they had, you know, and sometimes you'd get there and you'd buy a ticket and they'd be sold out all day and then you'd have to just go home because you couldn't get in, and it was a big nightmare. And it seems like movie theaters have streamlined that to where that's not the case, and yet now we're going to be standing in a fucking line waiting to be seated for this fucking Star
Wars. We're
gonna
have a lot of trailers, by the way.
Maybe they'll do some numbered wristband thing.
Maybe.
Where if you show up early enough, you would get a spot in line and not have to wait.
We're going to have to find out.
All right.
So there's going to be not only
Star Trek. Give us the rundown. Star Trek.
There's going to be an X-Men Apocalypse trailer.
Who cares?
I know.
Keep going.
And Batman Superman.
Who gives a shit? Keep going.
The Huntsman Winter War.
Oh, was that that fucking...
Was that that stupid fruity...
the Kristen Stewart movie?
Is that what The Huntsman was?
Snow White and the Huntsman, right?
Okay. So we're going to have three trailers we have to say.
At least.
The Star Trek one I want to see. The other two,
Why not, show a Star Wars Rogue One? Well, that's what I'd like to see.
You know,
the size, the first, yeah, all adventure in the universe. That's not, it's canon. It's canon, but it takes place away from the main.
How
character.
Come Mara Jade isn't getting a movie?
All right, can I do my Star Wars manifesto?
Well, we're gonna get into it, but I just want to say on Aziz Ansari's show, Master of None.
Yes,
there's a good joke in like the second episode. They're going to see a new X-Men movie.
Yeah, I saw that.
And he says, he and his buddy are walking out of it, and he goes, of the 15 X-Men movies I've seen,
right,
this one's about the eighth.
Yeah, best. That's
and that's how I feel. They have, some of the X-Men movies are good. The last one was really good.
Days
of Future Past.
I said this on the show, I know. Mm-hmm. The X-Men movies from here forward, if I'm the president in 2016, all X-Men movies will just be called X-Men. All Fast and Furious movies will just be called Fast and Furious.
We don't need the subtitles.
There's no need for any sub, because that's what people don't even know what those are. Obviously a real fan does, but to a casual person, they don't know one X-Men from the next at this point. They don't know the Wolverine from X-Men and the young X-Men versus the old X-Men, the X-Men movie that both the young and the old X-Men, no one can tell
the
difference.
Well, and that's the, okay, I was
and Star Wars is going to become that, unfortunately, when they start putting out Rogue One and all this other stuff.
Oh, absolutely. I was watching The Flash.
And they want it that way.
I was watching The Flash last night.
Yeah.
Because once in a while, I'll casually watch Supergirl and The Flash those shows, because I'm a nerd at heart. But I was watching The Flash, and it was a crossover with Arrow.
Oh.
And you couldn't, and then they had them back to back.
God, I've been waiting for that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They had them back to back, right?
Right, okay.
I couldn't tell which show was which.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, well.
Which one was The Flash?
Well, they like it that way.
I think a couple of the Flash extra characters weren't in the Arrow episode.
Yeah.
But they had all these other, it was like, oh, Hawkman's going to be in this one. And at a certain point, even a nerd like me, I'm like, okay, so Hawkman's in it. Like, where, at which level? There's guys whose enthusiasm never dies.
There is, but I think the public is going to grow tired ultimately of Marvel movies. I think they're going to grow tired of Star Wars movies.
They're going
to
beat these into the earth.
They are, and we'll be done with them. But here, anyway, Star Wars, my Star Wars manifesto. So here's what I did. I decided before I saw Force Awakens, because I realized it had been about 10 years since I've watched a Star Wars, because I probably saw Episode 3.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably bought the DVD of that, the two-disc DVD, when that came out. And then I'm almost certain that I never saw Star Wars again
Did you have the Laserdisc?
Original. Well, that's the thing. I'll get into that. So when I went back to watch them, I said, well, I have the 2004 original trilogy DVDs. Those came out just before Episode 3. And I know you and I both bought those. I don't know if we bought them at the same time.
I have them.
But you have those over there. It was the three movies with commentaries. There's a really great documentary about the making of the original trilogy on those discs as well. So those were really good. But I, of course, back in the day, I think I had them on VHS. Mm-hmm. I know I had the giant 9-disc Laserdisc set that came out for those or whatever. That thing was tremendous. I love that. Which I ultimately sold for about $100, which is what I paid for it. You know, just a few years ago when I got rid of my Laserdiscs. But I wanted to watch Star Wars again, and I said, well, what's the best way to watch Star Wars? And I said, I should get the Blu-rays, which had come out in 2011, but they were repackaged for this year. So if you see, it's a big set with its 9 discs and Darth Vader's on the cover. And I said, let me get those. It was like $85 on Black Friday. So, you know, it was still expensive. But I went out and bought those because I said, there's all the special features. They didn't repeat them from the 2004 DVD. So I said, let me get the Blu-rays. I'll watch those features. I said, well, I should watch the movies too. And then I said, well, they made a lot of changes. I looked up the changes they made, even from the DVDs I already had. And I said, I want to watch the original trilogy as it was. How do I do that now? I don't have my Laserdiscs. So I went out and got what's called the despecialized editions of Star Wars. God. Which these are, fans have put these together where they found the best elements of the original trilogy from the various Laserdiscs and DVDs over the years and the Blu-rays. They added, you know, and they edited them all together. They made the original, put the original audio on
what
there.
What was the Phantom Menace cut that was famous, the fan cut?
I don't know. There's one where you can not watch without Jar Jar.
They
I
cut
haven't
all
seen
of
that.
Jar Jar
yeah,
out
I
of
haven't
it.
Seen
yeah.
that. But I did watch the specialized edition of the original Star Wars. And then I went and watched the Blu-ray version of Star Wars, the newest edition, with the commentary on that, There was a second, actually, it's a second commentary that was new to the Blu-rays. I watched them all with that as well. So I watched basically the original trilogy movies twice. I also watched, and you can look these up. I'll try to put a link on there. And this is where this can benefit you. If you don't want to be that big of a nerd, I can help you right now. You can go on YouTube, and there's a guy. There's more than one guy, but there's one guy in particular that I watched. He put up the differences between the various editions. You can see all the changes. So if you only have the Blu-rays or the DVDs, you can see the original parts and the changes.
There are distinct differences.
Okay.
I go to Blu-ray.com.
Yeah, you can.
Which is a good site that reviews all the stuff.
Right.
Like the Terminator. Okay.
Right. But I'm saying if you go to YouTube, you can see all the changes. I'll put the links in the show.
What I'm saying, though, there is a difference in versions because, like, I still have my DVD copy of Terminator.
Yes.
The Blu-ray was like $7, and I should have picked up the Blu-ray of the original Terminator.
Yeah, why is that?
But the special features, they had extra scenes, but they cut out James Cameron's commentary.
Oh, okay.
On why he cut the scenes.
Oh.
There's like little things
that
they do.
Well, there's stuff like that, and that's true.
That's just always annoying.
But, you know, when I talk about Star Wars having changes, it's like the digital Jabba the Hutt being added to the, you know, Star Wars and stuff. So if you want to see all of those changes, you can go on YouTube and look up those videos. And I have a link to them. I can't tell you right now because I don't have my computer, but those are really good because I found that between watching the despecialized original version and then watching the special edition, I would watch that YouTube so I would know what to look for when I watched special edition. Some of the changes were actually pretty good, I thought, overall. And some of them were just completely awful, and I don't understand why they did it. But we'll get into it now. So the original Star Wars. I'm watching this. Here's my thoughts. And you'll know.
Did you watch Abbott and Costello Meet Darth Vader?
I you know, that one I haven't gotten to.
Because I heard that one's good.
All right, let me get into this. Believe me, if Abbott and Costello were alive today, I think Disney would make that movie. I think I can see that. Yeah. But here we go. All right.
It's Harold and Kumar go to the Death Star.
Absolutely. We're not far from that. But we will get listen, hopefully we'll all be dead when they do the Star Wars Star Trek crossover.
Mm-hmm.
But that will happen one day.
You know, I hadn't even thought of that. That's a good idea.
That will happen.
Wow.
I'm not telling you that this might happen. I'm telling you that will happen.
You know, they did a X-Men versus Star Trek comic book
once,
which was as stupid as it sounds.
Right.
But I bet maybe they would do that.
Right. I mean, they will do Star Wars Star Trek. I'm telling you.
Wolverine pops his claws and Spock goes highly illogical.
Yeah, so I mean, they will do every I mean, you're going to get DC versus Marvel in your life. We'll get that in our lifetimes.
That I cannot
DC
see
Marvel
being that
we will
far
get.
Off. No.
Yeah, that's
although considering the bitter acrimony between these studios,
well,
Marvel is going to the lengths of like literally they canceled Fantastic Four.
Right.
And they're kind of downplaying.
But that's Fox, right?
Yeah, because Fox owns the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, Fox is getting rid of it. But Disney will acquire that. But
Marvel literally canceled the Fantastic Four comic book
out of spite.
Because they're just like,
right. And they'll get it back, and they'll make those.
They're trying to not promote.
And Spider-Man's going into Marvel. We know that, right? Mm-hmm. That's happening. Sony's is given.
Disney will own everything eventually.
Disney's
like
going to own
Borg.
Everything eventually. So here's my thing. This is what I love. This is one thing I figured out. I guess the first thing to say, watching the original Star Wars, I figured out that I only love Star Wars. I only love that first movie.
Only the first movie.
Now, it doesn't mean that I don't like the other ones, but my love of Star Wars comes from that first movie, and it is only that movie. It is the only movie that can stand on its own. Meaning you can't watch the other ones if you've never seen Star Wars and enjoy the other ones without having seen Star Wars. You have to watch that first movie. Meaning I don't think you can watch the prequels without seeing the original Star Wars, which they call it before, and I called Star Wars. I only love Star Wars. And to me, that's really the test when people say, well, Empire Strikes Back is better and this is better. And we'll get to Empire Strikes Back and what's good about it. But I think you have to love the first movie the best. I think you have to. Everything comes from that first movie. Without that, you have nothing else. So that's what I like the best is Star Wars, okay? That's my first thought. Do you have any thoughts? You're making a
sourpuss. I would overall probably agree, except that Star Wars is a little anticlimactic. Like, okay, Luke is learning to be a Jedi.
Sure.
But does none of the actual Jedi stuff. He doesn't actually use the lightsaber. Obi-Wan gives it to him.
Yeah.
He practices with it.
Sure.
He doesn't even, like, cut a door open or anything. You know what I mean? Like you would think
the lightsaber does not get used in his hand. Sure.
Well, okay, when they're in the fucking trash compactor.
Yeah.
And they're like, R2, shut down.
Yeah.
All the
he could have killed
Travis
that monster
Patrick's,
with it, sure.
He doesn't even break the lightsaber
well,
out and cut through the door to get out of
the
trash, right?
Yes.
They could have done
cut,
something.
They cut through an elevator in episode 3 to get out. When
yes.
You're trapped with the
but
lightsaber.
But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, okay.
They didn't even pay that off.
Exactly.
Like, this lightsaber can be used for
yeah,
something cool.
Right.
Instead, it was like, "Ooh, it's a cool thing."
I don't even know if he's walking around with the lightsaber when
he's
they're rescuing Princess Leia.
Yeah,
they?
He's
okay.
got it on his belt.
All right. So, all right. Okay, you, that's your that's
no,
fine.
No, I mean,
me, it,
but in a certain way, there it's a little unfinished.
Okay, but here's what I love. About
I do
it.
Love it. Does look? It's cut the best editing.
Yeah.
The Marsha, what's her name? Did the
well, it was multiple editors, but Marsha Lucas, his wife.
Marsha Lucas.
Of the
I didn't think she. I thought she had another name at the time.
Yeah, there were multiple editors on all the Star Wars movies because I think they were a mess mm-hmm. to just assemble, so they all have multiple editors. But
the editing of the Death Star run
yeah, that's
is
all great.
Phenomenal.
Okay. Here's what's great about
it's
Star
got
Wars.
A lot of charm.
The acting is very good in Star Wars. It's underrated. Mark Hamill is very good in that.
Really?
Again, I watched all these in the last week, so I know you're going, I don't know. I watched these all in the last week. He's
I'll tell you,
very
I'll
good
tell you who's
that.
Good in it. Ford.
Yeah, Harrison Ford is great in it. Carrie Fisher is very good. Peter Cushing is very good.
Carrie Fisher in the first one is doing a very specific, like, 40s. Now,
well,
listen here, Lord Vader.
Well, yeah, well, that's
there's a little level
there's
of
there's a lack
to
of continuity
it.
In her character,
well, okay.
and she talks about it later,
Alec,
but
Alec Guinness.
Alec
and,
Guinness is great.
And Christopher, not Christopher Lee,
Peter Cushing.
Peter Cushing.
Yeah.
Are old pros.
Yeah.
And they were perfect at it.
Great.
But I feel
and
like
James Earl Jones is the voice.
I feel like
Vader,
there's
great.
A little bit of a cartoony tone to it. So I'm not really disagreeing with you much. I do like the original Star Wars, probably the best.
Yes.
And if you had to pick just one movie,
yes,
from the whole shit pile,
yes,
that's probably the one you'd stick with.
Yeah, you have.
But,
to.
But I do think there's some weaknesses compared to. Some
I understand
movies.
That. Well, I'm saying that's what I love. And the other thing, I mean, the music is fantastic. I mean, no one had ever. Put that kind of music to a sci-fi movie before. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, Kubrick used, you know, Wagner and that, or Strauss, I think was the big thing in 2001, which was great, but, you know,
2000,
Lucas took it to another
okay.
level.
Let me say something about Kubrick for a brief moment. 2001 is a movie you should watch once in your life and never return to it.
Why is that?
Because it's hideously unwatchable in
a
way.
I love it. It's different. It's not
it's so.
It's not like a you know a fantasy tale like Star Wars.
Okay,
is, but
Star Wars, I could rewatch
absolutely
once a year.
Well, that's why
every
it's great.
Year, and it's always good.
Yes,
2001 is tedium.
Well, I agree with you, but I'm
it's
saying,
absolutely
like,
brilliant. But it's tedium if you okay. want to on a rewatchability perspective.
The camera work is amazing, but the best thing about Star Wars, maybe the best thing of all, is that the design of the stuff
mm-hmm.
was. Incredible and has never been matched even by the own movies in the series. They never matched the design. I mean, granted, when you're seeing all that stuff for the first time, it's the best design, but there is something, there is a consistency to from the way the droids look to the way the ships look
yes.
to the way that the buildings look, the Death Star. It's all consistent. It all fits. The costumes. Everything is looks like it should. It all from the stormtroopers. There's a consistency to the look.
I think maybe there's a couple monsters in the cantina that they had
right,
to cheap out
few,
on,
which we can talk about. Yeah, that's there were things that they had to. They actually reshot that. They shot the cantina scene, and then they shot insert shots later at ILM,
and
because they weren't happy with the monsters.
Obviously, but, that Jabba scene that Lucas had to go.
Well,
and
yeah, well, that's
insert his
we'll
crap
get to
into.
That in a minute. But I'm saying the design of the stuff.
Other than that, it's pretty great.
The design of the stuff is the best they ever did in that, because even when you get to Empire Strikes Back, you have that you know the Cloud City in Bespin, which kind of looks like it doesn't fit.
I have never once in my life thought of Chewbacca. As a guy in a suit.
No. It's
I have
real.
Never.
It's believable.
Ever thought of him. Seriously.
Right.
Of all movie creations, I know on some level that Boris Karloff is just
sure,
wearing
yeah.
a plastic forehead
yeah.
as Frankenstein.
Frankenstein, you don't, the bolts don't ever seem to really do anything. You know, I mean, it
I
all,
mean,
it
but,
all
which is,
like,
but by the way, that's as brilliant a makeup as ever been
yeah.
made.
Right. But
Planet of the Apes, another movie I love.
Yeah.
Holy. I still think. Oh, that's makeup sometimes.
Yeah, but you know when
I've
you
never
see,
looked at Chewbacca
okay,
one time.
When you see R2-D2 and you look at all that stuff, you go, okay, that little lens in the front is how he sees. and then this thing he can project with, and then this thing he uses to touch. Like, it all makes sense.
Sure.
And you look at the X-Wing and you go, okay, I see how that could fly.
No, the droids.
I see how, you know, the Jawa thing goes through the desert, and that works. And it all sort of makes sense. It's really amazing. It's really one of the great feats that they ever, I think, accomplished.
Other
with that
than
series.
The little Roomba droids that run around the Death Star,
right?
Which are a little stupid looking. It's all perfect.
Well, you figure those have some purpose. I don't know what those were doing, but
well, there's the one, and then there's the one droid in the Jawa trawler that's like a little guy wobbling.
Well, they walk around those guys walk around the Death Star a lot, and in the hangars you see them.
Yeah.
So I don't know what those do, but anyway, you know, but all that stuff is
it's pretty
brilliant.
Great.
You can't do better than that.
Well, have you ever seen
THX 1138?
I
have a million years ago.
That has great design well. That was Lucas's.
He was great.
That was kind of the test run for Star Wars.
I wrote down here, Lucas, after watching this original trilogy, especially the first movie, the guy was a goddamn genius. Absolutely. He's not a guy who just got lucky with something. It was absolutely, it wasn't like, well, he put these people in a room and someone else should take the credit. He deserves all the credit for why those are great.
I think much like...
And look, he's going to get a lot of blame later. This goes on and on.
Well,
but
you know
I'm
what?
Saying,
I
you know,
think much like Bill Gates and some of the great tech creators.
Yeah.
I think George Lucas is a genius.
Yeah.
And he's a little autistic.
Yeah.
I think he's so damn smart that he doesn't handle people all that well.
Sure.
And that's kind of one of the down... If I have one knock on Star Wars, I do think the first movie has a tendency to be like, we must run to the, you know, I want to go to Tashi Station and get some power converters.
That's one of the things I put down too. It's like, you know, it's basically a Western or it's a fairy tale. I mean, you can look at it as it's Western.
It's
you
a,
know,
it's
there's
a little,
saloon scene they go and they find the fastest gun in the West, which is the Han Solo scene. That's exactly it. It's a lot of these archetypes from, you know, the Searchers is a lot of what this is. You know, the girl is kidnapped. We have to go rescue her. You know, it's John Wayne and his young accomplice going on to do that.
Yeah.
It's exactly that.
Which
it's a classic story.
Which in 1977 was transgressive.
It was, yeah.
It was completely, everybody went, oh, I see they're doing a Western in space.
Yeah.
And no one had ever really done it.
And it was, you know, the Hidden Fortress, Kurosawa's movie. It's a lot of that.
They'd never done it in the metatextual context of, well, I think people were just beginning to pick up on things like, samurai movies and Westerns have the same plots.
Yeah, Kurosawa was influenced by American West, by John Ford Westerns. Mm-hmm. Lucas was inspired by Kurosawa, so it all goes around. But that's one of the things about it, that it's very classic and it's a very simple story, and that's what makes Star Wars so great. Because now we'll get into the, well, let's get into the sequels here. Now we get to Empire Strikes Back, which is for a lot of people their favorite movie. Some of the stuff they did right in that, it looks beautiful. It's a better looking movie than Star Wars. They used a different director of photography because they got a new director. They got Irvin Kershner to direct, so he got to pick his DP. And apparently this guy, according to Lucas on the commentary, used a lot of diffused lighting, which made it gave it a softer look and made it look different. But I think it looks great on that new Blu-ray. It's really
No, amazing. I think Empire's the best looking of them.
Okay, it is, and I think it is too. So it's the best looking movie, okay? They also got different writers. Lawrence Kasdan and Lee Brackett were the credited writers on that. Now, Lee Brackett died, so Lee Brackett didn't have a chance to finish it, so Kasdan came in. But all of that Leia Han dialogue, which really sounds like kind of like it happened one night, you know, it sounds like it's, it sounds like, you know, I don't know, who's that actor I'm thinking about? You know, Clark Gable or a Cary Grant comedy. All of it sounds like that old, you know, Jimmy Stewart, Preston
Sturges. His Girl Friday.
Yeah, all that's dialogue where they're constantly insulting each other and arguing. That stuff is really great. That stuff added a new dimension to their relationship. Because really, Han and Leia in that first movie don't really hang out. You know what I mean? There's not much interaction between them, even in the first movie. Most of the interactions between Leia and Luke. So they really did a good job with very minimal dialogue between them to build that relationship. So that was good. The Hoth opening. Probably the best sequence in the whole goddamn series, right? That Hoth battle, the AT-STs, the AT-ATs, the snow speeders.
Yeah.
That's all great. That's all really good. It all holds up. When we played that Star Wars Battlefront and we were playing on that, it's fucking cool. It's still good. Looks great. And that's the idea of using real sets, too, where that you really see that.
Didn't they shoot that in Norway?
Norway, yeah. On a glacier. So really great. That is the best sequence in the movie. And in, I think, the whole series. Problem with this movie, it's got a couple things. First of all, the third act is bad. I don't think there's not enough action in the third act. I mean, the best thing in the third act, and again, we're going to spoil this original trilogy.
What?
Huh?
We're spoiling 40-year-old movies?
But, you know, the reveal that Vader is Luke's father is amazing the first time you see it. Mm. On repeat viewings, it doesn't really hold up. You know, Luke losing his arm in the battle was really traumatizing the first time you see it.
This is where it's...
It doesn't really hold up.
Okay, well, that is where the wheels start to come off
yeah.
the entire franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Because all of the stuff that they've created, the whole world they've built up until now, that's where it falls apart.
Yeah.
It begins to unravel, and dumb ideas begin to pervade the Star Wars universe.
No, you're absolutely.
Talking about the design. I'll get to it. My number one pet peeve about Star Wars is something people probably, about the prequels, is something people probably don't care
about.
We're
going to get to the prequels in a minute. Okay. Right. So the third act sags. And the other thing is that, you know, when you see it over and over again, the surprise that Yoda is, you know, that Yoda is the Jedi Master, which is a surprise because you think he's this weird little guy that is kind of bothering Luke while he's trying to search for... You know, that surprise goes away, and it's kind of like, well, okay. When you see the movie over and over, you're like, can you just get to the point where Luke cuts off Darth Vader's head in the cave or whatever? You know,
cause, right.
Because you don't want... The Yoda stuff gets kind of dull.
Well, do you know that David Prowse gave that the spoiler away?
Oh, he did, about being the father?
He said he was quoted in an interview like a year and a half before the movie came out.
Yeah.
That Luke and Vader went to a duel, went to a draw, because neither one wanted to kill the other one because he was his father.
Oh, okay. So well, they had like already shot it, or he already read the script or something.
Yeah, they are. You know, they were working on it, whatever. Mm-hmm. And David Prowse was never invited to an official Lucasfilm event again. But because it was 1979,
it didn't spread. Yeah,
it was picked up in a couple fanzines and was a rumor. But was not widespread, so it was not ruined.
On the latest stuff that
I
watched.
Is that like the last time a big spin
was
in a movie that wasn't spoiled?
You couldn't do that now.
Yeah.
That's what we'll get to our thoughts for Force Awakens and what they might do in there, which, you know, these are just speculation on my part. But anyway, Irvin Kershner says that on the set that David Prowse's line to Luke was not, "Luke, I am your father." It was, "Obi-Wan killed your father."
Okay.
That's what they say as a way to protect.
Well, apparently David Prowse knew it.
Well, he might have found out from somewhere. I don't know. So the Yoda thing does surprise. And then the other thing, the cave sequence when the Millennium Falcon is going through the asteroids and it runs into that cave, which is secretly the mouth of a big giant monster.
Mm.
The sequence where the things are sticking to the window and Leia has to run out and Han runs out and they have their masks is the cheesiest, stupidest fucking thing in the whole original trilogy. It doesn't work at all. It looks like an episode of Lost in Space. The monsters are like big moths. They're
the
like
the Minox?
Yeah, I think they are the Minox. I didn't even write it down.
Here's the thing.
All right.
I consider myself...
The fact that you're a married man and we're in the apartment you share with your wife and you know that those are the Minox might be the greatest miracle in the history of the world.
Look, there's a... Okay, if you look over here...
Yes,
we have
action figures.
We have... Hulk hands.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
There's an R2-D2.
You should know that those are the Minox.
There is a...
That's Hulk, wrong.
Now, those I got for Amy, the Scooby-Doo figures.
Yes, you do have an R2-D2 on your shelf. I see
I have an R2-D2. So,
all right.
Well, the Star Wars is... I have Space Ghost at his...
I know, but the Minox...
I don't just
suck.
Have a Space Ghost figure. I have Space Ghost at his desk from Space Ghost Coast to Coast.
Okay. Well, listen.
There you go.
The Minox, that is the worst sequence in the original trilogy.
Really? I never thought of that as being bad.
You haven't seen it lately. You haven't probably watched Star Wars in 10 years, I'm guessing.
I have. I mean, I haven't.
You turn it on when it's on TV, but you probably don't
I probably watch them. You just rewatched the stuff.
I just rewatched them all.
So it's all fresh to you.
It is.
I feel... Here's my thing about Star Wars.
It's a terrible sequence.
I have an R2-D2 sitting right there.
Yeah.
I am not impervious to it, but I consider myself...
You can love Empire Strikes Back. That sequence sucks.
I consider myself a lapsed warsy.
Okay. Yeah.
In that other people now love it like it's a religion.
Yeah.
And I am, like, I grew up in the faith.
And you're over it, yeah.
I grew up in the faith, and now I'm kind of detached from it. But does that mean I don't know the names of fucking every goddamn...
No, but that's a... That's
I know
a
who
bad.
Ponda Baba is.
That's a forgotten sequence for good reason. That
I
sequence
know,
blows.
But I'm just saying, it's all in my head.
And there's stuff, you know, there's deleted scenes on these Blu-rays,
Joel,
that have never...
How come Forlom isn't as popular? How come Dengar isn't as popular as Boba Fett?
Yeah, okay.
You know what I'm saying? I know the names of all the bounty hunters.
All right. That's because they were action figures. Bosk. That's how people learned them. Yeah.
I know.
All right. The special effects are much better in Empire, so that's good. And the special edition changes to Empire are actually pretty good. They did Wampa. They had a guy in a suit, which I think they tried originally and didn't work.
Yes.
But they inserted
Well, there's
the
a whole
edition.
Sequence cut from...
There's a guy in a suit.
There's a sequence where the Wampas attack as the Empire arrives.
Yeah, yeah. There's Wampa. You can see Wampa swiping at Darth Vader. It's on the deleted scenes in the Blu-ray. And that's bad.
I think but the Wampas get a couple Stormtroopers.
But they shot a Wampa... in a suit, a guy in a suit.
It didn't quite work.
As part of it. No, for the special editions. Oh. So if you get the Blu-rays and you see those, and it might be
the one they shot
cut,
in 1979.
No, that one was bad, but I'm saying they redid it for special edition and it looks good and it works. And most of the special edition changes in Return of the Jedi were good because they were really bad in Star Wars. I mean, the Jabba at the Millennium Falcon as they're getting ready to leave is terrible. And a lot of that stuff is not very good. But the other big change
which, by the way, that scene was cut. For a reason. Now this gets to
this gets to
the point of Lucas's, and this is where it will just turn into bitching.
Well,
as
will,
the
we
fans
will,
of this show enjoy,
there, yes.
I'll call Guy a faggot, and we'll all be happy and go home.
But that was good. The other big change was in the Cloud City of Bespin. They put windows that were CG city behind them in places where there was just a painting or there was nothing at all. They just cut a
window.
You
know,
in there
he went in and did
to make it look.
You should watch THX and see. That he did digital enhancement
to that
movie.
Yeah.
And those look great.
Yeah, some of the stuff is
the
good.
The stuff he did in THX looks
Empire
really good.
The Empire changes are actually pretty good, I thought. Okay, now let's get to Return of the Jedi. Return of the Jedi, right away, the look is not as good. The movie just looks flat. The characters look older. The makeup and the hair look cheap. It looks more cheap for whatever reason. It just does. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, maybe it's because, you know, again, when you're seeing these things on Blu-ray with more definition and... You can just notice right away the Jedi does not look as good. It's just not as good. So, one of the things I noticed is that Darth Vader in Jedi, it's some great. Here's one of the all-time fuck-ups that you never understand. He does nothing bad in Jedi. He does nothing. He doesn't force choke one fucking guy in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't do anything bad. All he does is Darth Vader shows up and goes, the Emperor is coming. Then the Emperor comes. The Emperor says, get Skywalker here. He meets Skywalker on Endor. He takes Skywalker back to the Emperor's chamber. They have their big fight. He kills the Emperor. That's what Vader does. So Vader is not even really a bad guy in Jedi, which really hurts the movie, I think. But I also think it would have hurt people being sympathetic to him had he done these awful acts, which is probably why he doesn't do any of that
stuff
in Jedi.
The other day,
but he doesn't do anything.
The other day I was at Target and I was looking at all the you know, Christmas stuff.
Yeah.
And they had an inflatable Darth Vader who was holding presents.
Right.
Like a Santa Claus that you put on your lawn, you know,
yeah.
or like these inflatable.
Right, yeah.
Now it's like inflatable Dracula.
Yeah.
This culture has lost the notion of what we're, that Krampus has a movie.
Yeah.
You know, the Krampus is the German evil, like it's like what if you're bad, the Krampus comes for you.
Yes, okay. Yeah.
Now Darth Vader is pushing candy canes and shit.
Well, I don't. That's not what's going on in Jedi, but at the same time, it's like for the sake of the story, they sort of like have to go like he's not a bad guy anymore. We're not going to tell you that he's not a bad guy anymore, but he's not going to do anything bad from this point forward, which really hurts the movie in a way because you never really feel like when you see Luke with Vader when he kind of turns himself in on Endor.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a whole lot of threat because Vader's not the bad guy anymore. You know, they had to move. In order to give you a happy ending, they had to find a bad guy that Luke could kill, or ultimately Vader kills. So they couldn't really make Vader do bad stuff. And it's also interesting because when you see the prequels, it's like, you know, at the end, and he comes back, and they're all hanging around with the Ewoks and dancing, and you see Anakin in his little thing, which, you know, he was replaced by Hayden Christensen in the final version that we have now. But it's also like, you know, Hayden Christensen in the prequels is like killing little kids and killing sand people that were innocent.
Sebastian Shaw.
Yeah, with Sebastian Shaw, and then they changed it to Anakin Skywalker. Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know.
Because we never saw Anakin. Well, because the Anakin. Okay, this is where we're starting to get into the.
Well, but I'm saying.
Here's where we're starting to get into the circular clusterfuck that Lucas turned his stuff into.
But
because Sebastian Shaw. Shaw never existed in that way.
In that way, yeah, which is why they replaced him with Hayden Christensen.
Right.
But it's also, why do you want to celebrate that Hayden Christensen guy? He was out killing children. He killed the young.
He's a mass murderer.
He's a mass murderer.
He's a fascist
and
dictator.
There's no reason why he should be there at the end. But anyway, okay. Right. So Darth
Vader's like the Goebbels to the Emperor's Hitler, and well, he's selling candy canes.
Vader does not do anything bad in Jedi, and I was surprised to see that again because I just thought about it. I said, "If you do anything, okay." Here's another problem that I have with Jedi, and I used to Jedi might have been my favorite movie when I was 10 because I thought it was the great finale of Star Wars and endless action, which it does.
I remember being in a movie theater in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yeah.
And seeing, I don't remember what movie we were watching. We might have been watching. It was, I bet it was something great, like the Lou Ferrigno Hercules.
Okay. Right.
And I remember seeing the trailer for Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
And in 1983, before we had the internet that spoiled everything and exposed every, you know, before we were getting scripts leaking online, like Hateful Eight. And all this stuff before there were daily updates from 15 nerd blogs. I saw that trailer and I went, holy shit.
Yeah.
I've reached the promised land.
Yeah. That's it.
When Han comes out of the Endor, friend. There's a shot of Han like jumping out of the Endor thing and shooting. And I went, oh,
yeah,
he's alive.
The
they gave away, by the way, that Han had been rescued from the carbonite in the trailer.
Well, let me get to Han. Cause that's my next thing on here is Han and the Ewoks. You don't think about what Han and the Ewoks and what he does, but Han allows himself. First of all, they get captured in a net by the Ewoks, which is, again, right out of Lost. It's like right out of Gilligan's Island.
By the way, another time that laser knife you have in your pocket would have been useful.
They're going to get it, and then R2-D2 saws through the net, and they fall. But, I mean, that's right out of like an episode of Gilligan's. It's like, here's the heroes of the rebellion who are going to save the universe from the dark side.
Right.
And they get caught in a fucking Ewok net. Okay, so that's one thing. But then, like, why does Han Solo not just shoot the fucking Ewoks when they're threatening him? Like, Han Solo is a bad motherfucker. He allows himself to be tied, hands and feet bound, on a spit and put over what will be a roasting fire to be cooked until C-3PO tells him
now,
that, you know.
Now, by the way, the Ewoks, now I unfortunately know, like I said, being a lapsed Warzy, I now know too much.
Okay, but the...
I now know the development stages of this movie.
Okay.
And originally, we were going to go to the Wookiee's home planet.
Yes.
Long before this. But they could only find Peter Mayhew.
Yeah, that's not the narrative that they tell on the new discs. I think the deal was they were always supposed to be... They were going to be Wookiees, but that would have been a million years ago.
I meant in earlier
drafts
of the script.
The Ewoks were always going to be little guys.
I'm talking in the first movie.
Well, okay, but I'm saying... Okay.
The practicality of finding a bunch of giants was too hard for them?
That's not what... They did it because Lucas decided to make small little guys.
Cute things they could turn into teddy bears.
But and my problem again isn't just that they're Ewoks, but it's like why do they not fuck these Ewoks up when the Ewoks are there, but they just don't.
Okay, I don't have any particular issue. Now I know a lot of fans do.
Yeah.
I don't have any particular issue with the Ewoks.
Nah, it's fine. They're fine. And I think when you see the movie again, they're fine, but they're also like, why does Han not, you know, there's a point when they are the bad guys and we're supposed to supposed to be afraid of him, or was Han? Maybe Han never felt threatened. But here's the hero, fucking tied up hands and feet, getting ready to be cooked. And that would not, that's inconsistent with his character. And that's a weakness in the movie. All right, let's move on.
Well, you know, okay, now this gets into some of the bullshit that George Lucas has been spinning lately.
Okay, let me.
About the Han and Greedo shooting first situation.
Yeah, well, that's a big, awful change to that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We skipped over that. You were talking about bad changes.
Well, yeah, that's a bad change.
You're talking about bad changes
to the Star Wars. Yeah.
All right. So he said
but
that
again, you don't have to watch those now. You can get to the special.
Okay, but he said that Greedo shot first, right?
Yes.
And he said that was because he was softening Han's image.
Yes.
So it's all about softening everybody's image.
Well, yeah. Well, they have to soften Darth Vader.
It's a war.
Yeah.
In which people are supposed to be nice.
Be nice to. Yeah, that's kind of true. By the way, the Han, and you can see this if you watch those YouTube videos, the Greedo-Han shootout has been changed, I think, 3 times now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think in the 97, the first change was Greedo really shot first, and they digitally move Han to get out of the way. Now, I think in the newest version on the Blu-ray, I think they shoot it about the same time.
Conan did a bit last night, which didn't work very well. Didn't get a big response from the audience, but like... He had Greedo shooting like 20 times.
Okay. Well, that's
funny. And missing.
That's funny. All
right. It was funny. The audience was confused by it, but...
So...
No, originally, Han Solo shot the son of a bitch.
Yeah, he should have shot everybody.
And guess what? Yeah. That's what he should have done.
What?
Greedo was...
Ben Kenobi chopped the fucking guy's arm off. Now, granted, the guy pulled a blaster, but, you know, he fucking got his arm off.
He
don't
give a shit.
Fuck him. Fuck them. They're bad guys. Fuck them.
You don't have an indestructible laser sword to not cut.
Because it's really almost like in Return of the Jedi, it's like the only guy we're going to kill is the Emperor and everybody else is okay. I mean, we'll kill some stormtroopers and whatever, but that's it. Okay. But the last third of the movie is still very good. I think all that action is well done. The effects are very good. Luke and Vader and the Emperor, that stuff is really well done.
Hold on. We killed a hell of some people on Jabba's barge.
Yeah, that's true. But those are all... You know, again, when you're killing creatures, not people, there is a thing.
Yeah.
And actually, that's one of the worst things about it was...
Okay.
I wrote down, here's a quote I put. Everybody's a lizard. And this started in Jedi and goes on to the prequels.
All right.
Everybody's a lizard.
Now, this is what's amazing. Yeah. Having devoted my whole goddamn life to being in some way associated with this movie or around it, this series of movies, and gotten to the point where I'm disgusted with it and don't want to look at it anymore.
Yeah.
Is there ever a moment in any of the films in which a regular gray-suited SS guard-looking member of the Imperial Fleet is shot by a Rebel trooper with a blaster?
Well, in Star Wars, when they raid the prison,
do they only shoot guys in stormtrooper outfits?
No, they do shoot regular guys, and there's regular guys that are on the Force where they're trying to drain the Force on Endor, and they raid. They kill guys. Yeah, because one of the guys is Ben Burtt, the sound designer. He does a Wilhelm scream when he flies over.
I'm trying to think. But
those guys get shot. No, those guys with the
you know what I'm saying, though?
Those guys
usually the British character actors in the Empire Imperial Fleet uniforms.
Yeah.
Do they get shot?
Those guys do die, but it's a lot of, you know, they try to, it definitely feels like they're only really killing guys in suits for the most part, you know.
They're mostly killing guys who look like robots. Because we didn't know the stormtroopers were guys.
Well, that's a problem with the prequels, but
we never knew. Do we ever knew that we thought they might have been robots when Star Wars came out? And I now have the whole history of the fandom in my head too about what people thought it different.
Oh, absolutely.
Going back to the STP thing, the time matters because I remember waiting for these. I remember waiting for Empire to come back and what guys would say and what was in Starlog and rumors.
Yeah. And the other thing is that the ending of the special edition ending, when, you know, they got rid of the original song, which I like. It's Jug Lug, I think it's what it's called.
Jub.
Yeah, that song. Mm-hmm. You know, they replaced it with a different song, and I think the reason they did that is they wanted to show the celebration across the galaxy as everybody's celebrating on all the different planets, on Bespin and Coruscant.
The single worst travesty in all of these movies.
I think that's why they had to do that. And
No. It's the... Jabba's Palace dance.
Oh yeah, that's a different song too.
Okay.
Yeah.
That with the fucking stormtroopers dance with Boba Fett's bobbing his head.
Boba Fett is macking on women. Boba Fett's not really dancing.
But he's kind of hitting on chicks.
Where Boba Fett's hitting on chicks.
And there's all these backup dancers.
The dancer, the lead kind of Tina Turner dancer, is now CGI in the special edition. And not a rod puppet.
That is...
And the song's different.
Horrible.
Yes. No, that's bad too. That was a bad change, yes.
Because they didn't like the way the puppets moved or something.
Yeah, you know, that
But first of all, the song's better. The original song's better.
The original song's better, yes. And
then they got this stupid CGI character screaming.
CGI character.
That is to me...
The big red lips that fly out to the screen.
That looks like a fucking Fruity Pebbles commercial. It's about as convincing as, you know, it's like horrible.
Well, there's a lot of bad CGI in the special editions and the prequels. So I'm ready to move on to the prequels. Are you ready?
Oh, God. Well, I'm trying to...
Because the special edition stuff in Empire, it works. The other special edition stuff...
I will say
the trench run in Star Wars, they redid all of those CGI shots.
I do think all the mushy stuff in the middle and the Leia's his sister stuff doesn't really work.
Well,
but it does have, I would say, the bookends are great.
I think the
Jabba's Palace sequence.
Yeah.
Some people think it's too long. I like it a lot.
Well, there's real tension when Chewbacca's handcuffed.
Yeah.
And he's being brought in by the bounty hunter and you don't know that the bounty hunter's Leia and there's a thing like that's really good tension. And when Luke is captured,
and the whole shots on
tension,
the barge,
and that still holds up.
And then they cut out a sequence afterwards where they stand around in the sand and talk.
Well, there's that. And then there's actually an opening to that movie. The opening of that movie is Luke Skywalker is in a cave and he's building his lightsaber. It's on the deleted scene.
Yeah.
And he finishes his lightsaber and he puts it into R2, which pays off later, but you see R2 with the thing before, and then you see 3PO and R2 going off to Jabba's.
Which, by the way, unnecessary. We don't need
and that's why they cut it out, and it's better without it.
We didn't really need to see that R2 had the lightsaber.
The first time you see Luke, it's better without having seen that. The other thing is that when Vader takes his mask off at the end, and even though they CGI'd out the guy's eyebrows for the special edition, you know, because they wanted to be consistent with him being burnt in lava, that's still a great scene. They're still like, oh my God, they're going to, like, watching it again.
Well, unlike Hayden Christensen, that's a good goddamn actor.
And it's the makeup's great, and you just go, I can't wait to see what Darth Vader looks like under the thing. So anyway, that's good. All right, here we go.
Oh, prequels. Joel's setting up the prequels.
Starting up. Everyone's a lizard. That continued into the prequels. These Trade Federation, Newt Gunray and these fucking guys in that first one. Holy shit, get rid of those guys. Those guys suck. In the prequels, for whatever reason, it wasn't enough to have, you know, American guys versus British guys. Which actually, I've heard some of that about Force Awakens. Like, oh, whatever, Daisy Ridley's character is British. They're trying to make the British characters good now. They're not all bad. Meanwhile, everyone forgets that Obi-Wan was British. That one seems to be overlooked. But yeah, the fucking hero of the whole goddamn series was British originally. So let's not get carried away with the British guys or this.
Obi-Wan was played by Sir Alec Guinness.
Alec Guinness, yeah.
Perhaps the most English guy.
English sounding guy.
Or with an Irish name. So, you know, but the most English person, because he has the received pronunciation. Yeah. The very proper.
So to make everybody a lizard just to make the bad guys is... But, you know, it just... The problem with the CG is that nothing looks real. And even to Episode 3, which was the only prequel I watched preparing this manifesto was Episode 3. I didn't get to the other ones. I'll watch those before we see Force Awakens. But for this purpose, I only watched 3. And even that CGI in that, which was the best of the series, you know, the ships don't look as good. The explosions in space look fake. You know, when they were at those explosions in space, when those TIE fighters were crashing into Death Star or the X-Wings or whatever, you see real fire and real bits of things fly out, and it's just not convincing. The R2-D2 and 3PO being CG for the most part in those, they don't look as good as they really, the real actual things look. They just, the stuff doesn't look as good. The sets don't look as good, fake. Again, when I talk about the design, and that's another thing, the design, as much as I talk about how great the design is Star Wars, all of the smooth Naboo stuff and all of those ships so elegant without seams and rivets and stuff, none of that works. All of that stuff looks way worse than the original trilogy stuff. I don't know. I know Lucas is saying, well, this was before the Empire took over. We had all these beautiful things, and they would have had this, and Tatooine was a dusty planet.
I thought the point was none of that works. Okay, and here's another big problem. I thought that in Episode 4, all the tech was sort of old and beat down.
Because it was cobbled together because they were this rebellion.
But we don't see X-Wings in the first trilogy, do we?
In Episode 3, they have what's really close to an X-Wing and what's almost a TIE. You know, it's almost an X-Wing and almost a TIE fighter.
So basically, wouldn't it have been like in Episode 4, it was like they were flying F-4 Phantoms now? You know what I mean? They were flying like Vietnam era planes.
That argument, but the
you know what I mean? They were keeping the rebels had cobbled together some old tech.
The Episode 3 ships are somewhere between the like Episode 1 ships and the Episode 4 ships, but it's not. It's still nobody likes the look of the new shit as much as they like the look of the old.
Well,
I think we can all agree on that.
There's no okay. Like I'm thinking about those yellow Naboo fighters.
Yeah,
those nobody likes those.
No.
No one looks at those and ever thinks that's a Star Wars.
No,
ship.
It doesn't look like it. Doesn't even look like something that would fly.
Now it looks. Because, you know what it looks more like with that yellow color? It looks more like a hot rod.
Yeah,
which is what Lucas has always been obsessed with.
Bail Organa has a ship in Episode 3. You see Jimmy Smits get into this thing, and literally the front of it was modeled on a Tucker. It's literally look at Bail Organa's ship in Episode 3. It's ridiculous. Okay.
I get where he's trying to maybe go with more of an Art Deco design aesthetic so that we get a notion that this is older.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But it's not that much older.
Because we immediately think of like...
It's 35. By the way, we tried to figure this out on the phone the other day.
Yeah.
My feeling is that Darth Vader is like 45 years old by the time we see him in like Star Wars. Maybe, you know. I mean, if you figure Anakin, when they had the babies, Anakin was 22, 23... And now Luke is...
Yeah, they're giving me the other... They're giving me his cruiser.
The Bail Organa cruiser?
Yeah. When I did an image search. I'm trying to think of the one... You know about the one he gets in to take off? Looks like a car?
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about, too.
It's
it was
red.
It was modeled on a... It's in episode 3. Maybe type in episode 3.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and the other thing is that there's too much goddamn plot in these prequels.
It's got a headlight
there's
in the front.
There's too much. Yeah, that's the Tucker.
Yeah, it's single headlight.
So there's too much. The third headlight.
We should put a picture of that up on the website.
that's everything that's wrong with the prequels in one image.
Well, because they're driving around space cars and hot rods.
Yeah, it's no good. But the plot, all the stuff with the Imperial Senate in those first two fucking movies. Holy shit, could you bore us more? It turns into fucking C-SPAN in space. Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here. First of all, prequels never work. I wrote that down in here. Now, I know you're going to give me an example. Like, okay, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, technically a prequel to Raiders, okay? It took place before in the timeline. But nobody gives a fuck. The story doesn't continue from one to the other. But prequels generally don't work, right?
I'm trying to think of a good prequel.
You can't. I mean, Godfather 2 had the stuff of young Vito Corleone played by Robert De Niro. That kind of worked. But, I mean, the Hobbit series didn't work in front of Lord of the Rings. The X-Men, X-Men First Class is
pretty good.
X-Men First Class is good. Mm-hmm. But that's the exception. You know, it almost never works.
Yeah.
It almost never works.
Well, and if there is a prequel, okay, it should be something we don't know about already.
Yeah, absolutely. We already know the story of this. And that's why my next point here was episode 3 should have been episode 1.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been the better movie. We see Anakin turn into Darth Vader at the end of episode 1, and then 2 and 3 is Darth Vader kicking fucking ass for 20 years.
Well, we now...
That would have been the better second and third. And I think eventually, I think Lucasfilm or, you know, Disney now, they're going to make those movies where it's between 3 and 4. They're going to make
them. But I don't know if I need to see those.
But they would have been better movies.
They're going to sleep... Ugh.
They're going to make them.
Look, if they insist on... What they're going to do, basically all of us now are a turkey. And we're going to get basted with Star Wars. We're going to get our cavities shoved with stuffing and lemons and herbs for like the next 20 years.
Well, they have.
And at some point they're going to go, let's get Ewan McGregor.
Yeah.
And we'll make an Obi-Wan movie. That's like 10 years after the end
before
of episode 3.
Before he gets
three,
too old.
Yeah. Because Ewan McGregor.
Before he's older than Alec Guinness.
Yeah. And we got a good.
While he's that
age. A good 10 years where Ewan McGregor will be in the right age. Sure, where he'll be like 50.
Right.
And he's 38 now. Well, so you'll go, he's the right age to play the older.
Apparently he's sitting on Tatooine playing solitaire. I don't know how exciting that's going to be, but we'll see.
Well, you know, okay, this gets to my number one. We talk about the design, okay? Yeah. Here's where the prequels died on the vine.
Right, set.
And this is a horrific calculational mistake that makes them utterly hideous to me, and they ruin the Jedis.
Yeah.
When Alec Guinness showed up and was like, I was a Jedi Knight and, protected the galaxy. Mm-hmm. Knights are guys that go out and get pussy.
Well, yeah. They're more like priests.
Monks can fuck themselves.
Yeah, they're priests. Yeah.
And when they turn the Jedi celibate
into
monks,
true,
I no longer gave a fuck.
That's true.
I no longer cared. I no longer like them.
Ben Kenobi.
I, in fact, think the Jedis are the bad
guys. Ben Kenobi never got a piece of ass in his life.
No. They're religious zealots.
Yeah.
I think the Jedis suck now.
There's that too.
And the prequels turn the Jedis into monks.
We can get into this.
And this makes me nuts. And I know I'm only, I might be alone on this, but this is like my number one pet peeve about the prequels.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan hides out on Tatooine.
They explain that at the end of episode 3.
In robes and cloaks.
Looking exactly like a Jedi.
Okay.
Right.
He's like, I'm going to go hide where Vader will not find me.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to his hometown and dress as I've always dressed, as a Jedi. He's wearing the exact same goddamn robes.
He changed his name to Ben. That should have thrown everyone off.
But this makes everyone in the movies an idiot.
Well, okay, actually, that's at the end of episode 3, that's not what they say. At the end of episode 3, you know, Bail Organa lost his son or something. Bail Organa's son was wiped out, and you see that happen. Or the young Jedi. And so they get the daughter, because they always wanted a daughter. And they will take Leia, and then Luke and Obi-Wan says, I take him to his home planet, to his family. And Obi-Wan says, I will go and watch over him. And that's how they
I know. And he's like, I'm going to go hide out in the forest. But everybody knows who he is, or in the desert.
Well,
they go, it's Ben Kenobi.
There is the problem of Darth Vader being from Tatooine.
Luke knows who he is.
There is the problem with Darth Vader creating C-3PO. Because there's scenes where there's 3PO and Vader in the same.
Well, this is
Vader and 3PO are in the same scenes in the original trilogy, and there's no acknowledgement of them at all.
See, this is exactly why prequels don't.
Yeah, exactly. That's true.
Because here's the thing. Before I was born, my grandfather didn't think about me.
Yeah. Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
And my grandfather lived an entire life that had nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
And if you went back and told my grandfather's story, and, you know, he was in the Philippines in World War II, be exciting and interesting.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be anything to do with me. Sure, and there wouldn't be any foreshadowing of me.
Yeah, there's too much.
And so what they do
the
with the prequels always have to do this thing where we're like, remember the elements that you liked in the other
movie?
Here's
a nod to the other one.
Yeah. Remember all this? It all makes sense. It all links together. Except it doesn't.
Yeah, well,
the past doesn't necessarily fit into the future.
No, absolutely. Okay, here's my biggest
problem. All look like Jedis, Joel.
Here's my biggest
problem. He's walking around
in
the, he's like, I'm undercover in the same outfit I wore and the Jedis wore for millennia.
He's wearing the Jedi varsity jacket as he walks around.
Yeah.
Jedi high.
Right. It's like if ISIS was like, we're going to come to America and we're going to wear turbans and black jumpsuits.
Well, actually, they do that.
Oh.
Right. Here's the worst problem.
Do you know what I mean, though? It's like,
here's the way up.
When the Nazis,
we would never let them in the airport looking like jihadists.
When the Nazis who escaped at the end of the war,
right?
Did they all go down to Argentina and walk around in SS outfits?
No, they put on Hawaiian shirts. And,
they hit out.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Here's the problem with the prequels: is just movies. Forget about the plot. Here's the biggest number one problem, and it ain't Jar Jar.
I would love to forget about the plot.
Here's the number one problem: that's not the plot.
Uh-huh.
Natalie Portman can't act her way out of a fucking paper bag.
Boy.
She can't act at all.
She's bad.
At all. I mean, it's fucking, this is dinner theater level acting she's doing. It's god awful.
I think Lucas coached him that way.
I don't know. Okay.
I think that's what Lucas wants.
She's
and it goes
awful.
Back to Star Wars.
She's awful.
Okay, but it goes back to
But Mark Hamill's not a great actor, and he's good in Star Wars.
In the first movie, he's whiny.
He's
I want to go to Tashi Station.
He's good.
Ben, Uncle Ben. Oh, Uncle
he's
Owen.
Good.
He's annoying as shit.
Well, he's written that way, but he's good playing the way it's written.
He gets a little cocky towards
She can't play. And granted, maybe nobody can act these roles.
Well,
maybe nobody
okay,
can.
Okay, and isn't that what Hamill or Fisher said to him? Like, George, you can write this shit, but you can't.
Carrie Fisher said that. Yeah,
right.
She says, nobody, you write the shit no one can say. Yeah.
And,
but,
and there's even like outtakes. Okay. There's even outtakes where like they'll show the three of them in the Death Star.
Yeah.
Doing a scene and they run through this thing and Lucas goes cut. And the three of them run up and go, is that it, George?
Well,
do we have to do it again faster?
The mic was in the shot or something.
I know, but.
I get what you're saying. Okay.
I think when.
Empire, she can't.
But I think why some people like Empire is that, one, Kasdan wrote the dialogue.
Yeah.
And he brought in Irvin Kershner to direct the actors.
Right.
I think Lucas did all the other stuff.
But you know what? Kasdan wrote three. You know, Kasdan came back and wrote three. I think Lucas wrote Phantom Menace on his own, but he had up on the other ones. And I think Kasdan, one of the guys that wrote three.
Okay.
And Kasdan wrote the new one.
Think of how fucking stilted the dialogue is in Phantom Menace.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Lucas is a horrible
dialogue. But here's the thing. Okay, let me
writer.
Go on with the rest of this acting, Jack. Sam Jackson, terrible. Just awful. And we know he's a good
actor. He's a
actor.
Great actor, yeah.
But he's terrible. He can't read that shit because his stuff is supposed to sound like the Alec Guinness stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's supposed to be, you know, learned and Jedi. And he can't pull that up.
By the way.
Look, I know you go, here's your casting that everyone popped big for. Oh, here's the baddest motherfucker actor ever. Samuel L. Jackson, we'll put him in Star Wars. Oh, that's an instant hit. Meanwhile, he's whatever, he's 15 years later, or it wasn't 15 years, it was 10 years later than the Pulp Fiction, you know, Sam Jackson. And he can't do the fucking dialogue because it's written for guys like Alec Guinness. It's terrible.
Well, if Sam Jackson had
and
played...
And he's old and
he
can't
had
do
played,
the sword fighting well.
If he'd played Lando's dad.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd buy that.
That'd be sweet.
I'd buy that. But Billy Dee Williams, and again, to the credit of the original trilogy, Billy Dee Williams pulls off the space hustler pimp thing pretty good.
He does. Billy
Dee
Williams
good.
Is great in those movies.
He's good.
He's completely likable, even though, even in the beginning, he's a faint, you know.
Yeah.
And
you think he's a bad guy, but then he turns out to be a good guy.
He does multiple heel turns. He does.
Right.
He does. He
but
does
even,
face and heel switches.
Even though he frees Leia and Chewie. In Empire Strikes Back, you still don't know at the beginning of Jedi if Lando's good or not. And when they show Lando in the mask, you don't know for sure that Lando's a good guy.
At the end,
you don't know that Lando's a good guy for sure at the beginning of Jedi.
I guess not. But at the end of Empire, he rescues them.
He does. He rescues Luke.
And he shows up in the Millennium Falcon.
But you have a little bit of doubt.
In fact, they almost set it up as if Harrison Ford wasn't coming back.
Oh, yeah.
And that Lando was going to take
Lucas
over.
Lucas says...
I keep saying Lando. If Martin Landau had been in these movies, they would have been much better.
Well, Lucas says that, you know, of all the actors, Harrison Ford was not signed for Jedi. He wouldn't do the 3-film contract at the beginning of Star Wars. Everybody else did.
And
he wanted to die.
He wanted Han Solo to die
We're going to get to that in a second, because we're going to talk about Force Awakens. And
well, didn't Alec Guinness also get lucky and go, he wasn't supposed to die, and then they were like, oh, maybe we need to kill somebody.
I don't know if that was the case, but he also wasn't contracted to come back.
And didn't really want to do him.
Now, Lucas said he came back willingly, and he probably shot a day on those.
Right. But Guinness famously wasn't real thrilled with Star Wars.
I didn't get the vibe from watching all the stuff I watched. Sometimes I feel like some of this stuff is
apocryphal?
No, I feel like some of this was rumors at the time, or... you know, books that were written that really weren't the real
there's
story.
There's a lot of common...
It's possible that there's history's been rewritten.
There's
these,
a lot of common wisdom that circulates.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of nonsense, too. But anyway, here we go. And then Hayden Christensen, I think, is miscast in those movies.
He's horrible.
Look, Jake Lloyd is terrible as the little kid. He's six. Who gives a fuck? Let's not beat up on him.
Okay, but Lucas ruined that guy's life. He never wanted to act again.
That's fine, and that's fine.
Once in a while, people will catch him. He'll come to
a
con.
We're all better for him not acting.
I know, he's terrible.
We're all better. But Hayden Christensen, here's to me. To me, young Vader should have been a big palooka. He should have been like a big jock. He should have been like a big football player dummy. He shouldn't have been this guy who was like kind of this young, kind of swarthy, playboy kind of looking guy that they made him out to be. He should have been a big dumb guy. That would have been a better casting for him. And I don't know exactly what actor I would have used, but I would imagine like...
John Krasinski.
I would have imagined, instead of like the long flowing locks, a big crew-cutted fucking looking dude. I know that the Jedi kind of have long hair and stuff, but I would have seen him being like almost like imagine what like a J.J. Watt looks like. You know, the guy from the Houston Texans. Imagine that as like young Darth Vader. Kind of works better. And I think that would have been a much better thing. I think he's too soft. I never bought him as turning into that Darth Vader. I just don't. And I think that's a weakness in the casting.
And
I know they wanted to make him attractive so they could make this believability that, you know, they could fall in love when he wasn't supposed to fall in love. But to me, I think a big, dumb kind of jock, because he's a gearhead. We know that from Phantom Menace, Anakin. I think it's just bad casting.
All right, refresh my memory on this one a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
Not to dive into the depths of hell that are Phantom Menace. And I remember in 1999 people, much like there are going to be for this new movie.
That was crazy.
There were morons that were sitting out waiting for weeks and months.
Oh, yeah.
They had tents.
Yeah.
Because Star Wars fans all have important jobs and family lives. But they had guys that were waiting for months, and we were like, oh, shit, what are we going to do? And then I realized it's on 5,000 screens.
Yeah, it is. I know.
And so we went to the little theater, the Birmingham 8.
Yeah.
Which is a downtown, you know, there's a tawny high-end downtown over here.
Yeah.
Well, the Birmingham Theater, it's an old movie. It's like an old movie house that's been revived.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't going to let people stand out on the street in Birmingham.
Yeah.
Because that's a town where, like, the cops are really officious with, you know, get out of here, you bums.
Yeah, right.
They run a tight ship. I said they're not going to let anybody sleep out on the ground. So we were okay.
Well,
we went to the fucking pancake house. We ate pancakes.
Okay.
Went to there. You know what I was? Like number 8 in line.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. They actually sold advance tickets for Phantom Menace. Depending on where you went, maybe they didn't sell advance tickets at Birmingham 8, and that's why you did. Because I bought tickets for Great Lakes Crossing because that was the newest movie theater at the time for like a nighttime screening on the first day, and I took 4 or 5 of my buddies. We all went over there. So. I don't know. But yeah, this new one's going to be crazy. Okay, here we go.
But we went, and I remember trying to tell myself that movie was good.
Yeah. Well, my...
all the elements that I liked about it, I tried to convince myself were good.
Well...
and then afterwards, it slowly just crept into me what a nightmare was.
I don't think it's a great movie now. At the time, though, I was glad that I saw it. I'm glad that they made it, and I'm glad that I saw it. Now, in hindsight, I wish they would have made a better episode 1. but you just wanted to see it, so let's just get it out. You know, that was sort of my takeaway. Like, I remember driving home in the car, my buddies were all like, oh, that sucked, and that was... And I was kind of like, well, you know what? I didn't have a bad time watching it. And I've watched that several times over the years. I didn't watch it for this, but I will watch it before we go see Force Awakens. And, look, it's not a great movie, but I think when you know it's not a great movie, I think, you know, it's bad, but it's also not, like... I can't be upset with it this many years later. You know, I just can't be upset with it. It
sucks.
It sucks, but we know it sucks, so let's just let it suck. And you
But,
know.
You know, does anyone actually like the prequels?
That's a good question. I hear little kids like the prequels.
I keep hearing that excuse.
But I don't know.
But do we care what little kids like?
I mean, Episode 3 is the best of them, and Episode 3, mm-hmm. which I watched yesterday, is not great. So
you know what else little kids like? Doc McStuffins. Am I going to watch fucking Doc McStuffins?
Let me get, because I know we've been...
I don't care what little kids like.
All right, here's the thing. Two characters ruin the entire prequel and the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And one of these is they kind of were forced to do, and one of them was a choice that they made, which was a poor choice. The one that ruins sort of ruins the whole thing is Yoda. By killing off Ben Kenobi, who was supposed to be the most powerful Jedi in the universe, and replacing him with Yoda in Empire, when you go back, now you have to have Yoda hanging around. The problem with Yoda is he's 2 feet fucking tall, and he's really not believable. Now, look, they did a very good job having Yoda do his lightsaber fights in those movies.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, watching Episode 3 again, I thought the Yoda animation and stuff was good. But Yoda just doesn't. Let's face it. He's fucking 2 feet tall.
Here's another... Okay.
Say what you want. Yoda's 2 feet tall, and the fact that you wrote yourself into a corner where Yoda was the ultimate Jedi Master, it kind of makes the prequel suck, and there should have been less Yoda.
Well, Yoda should have been so powerful he didn't have to touch a lightsaber.
That's true,
He
too.
Should have been like Professor X.
Well,
Yoda should roll up and go... No,
he does.
And shut the whole shit down.
When they're fighting in Episode 3, they're fighting in the Imperial Senate, and it's empty, and, you know... Darth Sidious or, you know, Palpatine is there, and they're making these boxes fly all
these
over.
Dumb names, by
yeah,
the way.
I know. So I can't even keep them all straight, but it's Sidious, Palpatine, and you know, they're all doing that. So, yeah, so Yoda, they sort of have, they write themselves into a corner where the most powerful Jedi in the universe is 2 feet tall, and I really feel like there was maybe a better way. I don't know how you do that. The other thing is that, you know, Yoda, the whole Yoda double talk thing,
mm-hmm.
he only does the double talk in Empire. Two or three lines of all of his dialogue. It's really not until Jedi that everything is in that sort of where he's putting the predicate first or whatever, you know, that way he talks. It really isn't in when you first see Yoda, he really doesn't talk like that. It sort of is something he says a couple lines that way, and then it became a thing where by the time you get to the prequels, it's just so annoying.
Well, doesn't he do it more when he's fucking around with Luke before he reveals who he is?
When he's again, it's a couple lines. And I looked this
hidden,
up.
Hidden listen, R2 with a okay. stick, and he steals the graham cracker.
Please
or whatever
don't punch
is.
Me in the face when I say this. But I was doing a web search on the way Yoda speaks, and people have written books about Yoda. About Yoda's speaking and the way that... So basically, I looked it up, and they're saying, depending upon who the writer was of the script, there's more or less Yoda double talk in certain movies than others, but it's worse in the prequels. So that was thing. But the other character that really, really, and I think you'll agree with me on this, really ruins the prequels is goddamn Boba Fett. The fucking, and this is, and I'm going to tell you, we're the problem with Boba Fett. You know why we're the problem with Boba Fett?
Mm-hmm.
Is that Boba Fett, here's why people love Boba Fett. Okay. Boba Fett was the character that you got before Empire Strikes Back came out.
Mm-hmm.
They made the action figure. And you it was the like prequel.
Well, he okay.
He was in. He's in the Christmas. The
yeah,
holiday
that's
special.
That's where Boba
that's where
Fett.
That's you first saw him.
Yeah. By the way, Boba Fett debuted on the single special. Worst thing yeah. involved in Star
by
Wars.
By the way, the holiday special that portion, the Boba Fett animated cartoon part, is on the Blu-rays. Not the rest of the Christmas special, but that part is. You can see all the Boba.
There's
Fett
a little okay. So
yeah.
What people I think but, also what now modern fans have forgotten about Star Wars was yeah. that this shit was all being made up as it went.
It
along.
Was absolutely.
And
yeah.
in between Star Wars and Empire,
but
they kind of had to go, they put out comic books
yeah.
and they were like, what do we do with them? I don't yeah. know. We can't. Yeah. So the comic books are kind of like Han and Chewie go to a planet, meet a chick with three breasts because
yeah,
they
right.
don't know what to do with it.
So
in between movies.
So Boba Fett.
And that cartoon was like that.
But Boba Fett became this guy because of the cartoon and because of the action figure this hot character everybody liked. Boba Fett, I think, has two or three lines between episode two and three. Yeah. He dies in the stupidest fucking way ever, where blind Han Solo hits him with this staff, and the rocket thing goes off, and he goes in the Sarlacc pit. It's so stupid. But people, he became such a fan between Jedi and Phantom Menace, that the fandom, the guys who were jerking off to the Boba Fett outfit, the cosplayers, they made him that Lucas couldn't ignore that section of fans, the Boba Fett fans. So he had to put Boba Fett into fucking everything, had to make Boba Fett the clone that they would clone for the Stormtroopers, which basically kind of ruined Stormtroopers.
Well, here's another problem.
The fucking guy, Temuera Morrison, the actor that played Boba, Jango Fett, actually. It's Jango Fett that they put in the sequels, and then his son Boba. You can't even understand this fucking goddamn word that comes out of this fucking, this Mari Mushmouth fuck. And now they have to dub him in to all the Boba Fett lines in the original trilogy and the special editions, because now it's Temuera Morrison. Well,
Boba Fett was,
you can't understand a fucking line he says, because I can't even do a fucking
Boba Fett
Mari
was originally played, was originally played by Jeremy Bullock.
Jeremy Bullock.
Look.
By the way, Jeremy Bullock, many little roles were Jeremy Bullock out of the Boba Fett outfit. He's the guy who kidnaps Leia in Cloud City.
This is, by the way, the most pussy-drying show we've ever done.
Yes. For any ladies, stay tuned. Still
listening. I can only imagine some of our female listeners. Well, it's literally like the Sarlacc pit. Their vaginas are the Sarlacc pit now. They are dry and dust.
No.
They're dusty. It's like the planet Tatooine in their pussies right now.
It's a Sarlacc pit down there.
It's so dry.
Be digested for 1,000 years in the most painful way possible. But here's the point.
We have taken all the... This is like Dune. No, you know what we're doing? We're like moisture farmers. We're extracting all the moisture out of vaginas with this conversation.
I predict, and this will hold true, I predict no woman that ever listens to the show will fuck me. I'll predict that right now. Thankfully, not too many people listen to this, but...
Some who do have.
Well, no, they're not listening to this. They would have turned it off by now. But let's go on. Let's go on. The loose ends that they try to tie up, we've already talked to these. Some of them make sense, some of them don't. You know, in Return of the Jedi, Princess Leia says, well, I remember my mother. She died at a very young age. She obviously wouldn't remember Padme, because she was an infant. There is, Bail Organa's
wife yeah.
But it's never explained that she dies. You don't see her dying in episode three, so I don't really know what.
No,
that
you know
sense.
Why? Because, again, it's bullshit that Lucas wrote and then had to go,
here's more bullshit.
Oh, wait, I got to go backtrack and write
that.
This up.
Here's more bullshit. 3PO says that they
you
were...
You can beat Obi-Wan Kenobi changing his name to Ben Kenobi and hiding out in the work uniform of the hunted Jedi. On the home planet of the Darth Vader.
He's wearing a Green Bay Packer uniform in Wisconsin.
Yeah, exactly.
And nobody knows. It's him. Okay. Here's my point. This is worse.
No, it's like he's wearing 3PO. A Michigan jersey in Columbus, Ohio. And then he's like, look, guys, I'm not a Wolverine.
Huh? I don't know who Harbaugh is.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. All right, here you go. 3PO says that they were last, the droids were last in Star Wars. Says they were last in the... They were last...
Can you put that nerd computer music underneath the whole show?
Yeah, I'll do that. They were last in service to Captain Antilles.
Uh-huh.
Now, and then you meet Wedge, who is Wedge Antilles, who's a pilot through the original trilogy. So you assume that maybe it was Wedge Antilles, but that Wedge doesn't know 3PO. But then in episode one, of course, Antilles is the guy who's choked out on the blockade runner at the beginning of Star Wars. And what it turns out, and the way they covered their ass here, I said, well, maybe Wedge is the son of the guy who got choked up by Vader. Here's how they did it. This is what they said. This is official from Lucasfilm. Because fans ask this question at, like, fan get-togethers. You're going to love this. You don't know this. This is going to blow your mind.
This I don't know.
Here's why. Wedge is not related to Captain Antilles and never had the service of 3PO in R2-D2. Mm-hmm. Here's why. Here's what it is. In the Star Wars universe, Antilles is the most common
name.
It's like Smith or Jones. And everybody's called Antilles. So there's Captain Antilles, there's Wedge Antilles. They're not related at all. There you go. So that explains, that's their explanation for that came later. Okay, so that never made sense. And Yoda and Chewbacca.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Chewie, Yoda goes, I'm good with the Wookiees, I am, when he goes down to Kashyyyk. On the battle of that. But the problem is, there's really no reason to have Chewie there. They could have just had other Wookiees, but they, it was a little bit of fan service to have Chewie in episode three. But it also hurts that, you know, we always thought that Chewie was just this guy who was hanging out with Han Solo, smuggling shit across the universe. Turns out he was on the front lines of the Clone Wars and the battle. So that sort of doesn't make sense. Not to mention, and this goes on with other characters, like Jabba, like Yoda, it ruins the surprise. If you wanted to watch Star Wars from episode one to episode six, when Jabba shows up, that surprise is ruined because Jabba's in episode one and in episode four before we see him in episode six when you're supposed to see him. Chewie's in episode three and Yoda's in episode one, two, and three before we see him in five. So it ruins all of those characters. You already know who these people are before you meet them for the first time. Mm-hmm. So to try to even watch the movies from one to six doesn't make sense. And it also doesn't make sense, and I think I talked about this already, C-3PO being made by Anakin doesn't make sense. Because, of course, later Anakin sees 3PO. Maybe all protocol droids look together. And, of course, they erase 3PO's memory at the end of episode 3. So maybe that doesn't make sense.
I'm now thinking that that all of Vader's resources in trying to find Luke should have been spent trying to find Wedge Antilles.
Maybe,
because he was the best pilot the Rebels had.
Yeah.
He almost completed the Death Star run.
Wedge, you can't do any good back there, Wedge.
Right. But he, the other guy, the rest of the group got wiped out.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Only Red 4.
I know.
And, wait, Red 5 was Luke?
Here's what I'm going to do.
Was Red 5 Luke?
Yeah, Red 5 was Luke.
Red 5 and Red 4 were the only two that survived that whole attack run.
I want to make...
Except Wedge, and then Luke was like, back off, Wedge, I'll handle it. Then Wedge blows up the second Death Star.
He helped. Yeah, he did.
I think he fires the shot.
He fires. There's two things that explode.
Oh,
there's like
the Millennium Falcon
thing,
shoots
and then
one too.
Yeah, then the Falcon does the second shot. Yeah,
but Wedge is on that run.
Wedge is on that.
He
run
also too, blows up an AT-AT.
Yeah,
he's the best pilot.
Wedge is
in
great.
The
Wedge, is
Wedge
awesome.
Must be the greatest pilot
of
all time.
Well, they've made Wedge comic books and there's Wedge novels.
But he's a fucking fourth rate character that is barely used.
And then Wedge also
and also played by Dennis Lawson, who was the uncle of
Ewan McGregor.
And
also in the special edition, there's a shot of Luke and Wedge hugging that they added on Endor that was cut out.
By the way, I'm not looking any of this shit up. The name Jeremy Bullock came to my head without looking. This is the thing. I hate that I know all this stuff.
I know all this stupid. It was all in those Blu-rays that I've been watching.
But all this arcana has been in my head
for
forever.
And I also wrote, you know, Tatooine doesn't make sense, but we already talked about. Why would they hide him on the planet where it doesn't make sense?
None of it makes a damn bit of sense.
All right, now let's talk about Force Awakens, our thoughts for that, our ideas just to wrap up Star Wars.
Well, the whole point that they go back to Tatooine in the prequels is, I guess, to make people feel like we're in Star Wars now.
Yeah, we're in Star Wars again.
But it's stupid.
It is.
There's no reason for Anakin to be
but
from that
remember
planet.
Remember that, you know, the blockade runner just happens to get... Tatooine is supposed to be so far away from everything, as you hear Luke's dialogue. And then when the blockade runner is invaded by the Imperials, they eject onto Tatooine, which just was at random. And then in episode one, when their ship, whatever, it has a problem and it has to land, and it's Obi-Wan and them... They happen to land on Tatooine.
The prequels
are
basically fucked everything Lucas had done right in the first movie. Exactly. Everything in that first movie goes in the toilet. Oh, God, it just makes me so...
But here's my hopes and predictions for Force Awakens.
Oh, God.
Let's get into this, wrap this
up. All right.
Okay, you got to keep the original trilogy design. And I think they've done that from the previous
stuff.
I think keeping, and then they said, like, you know, the X-Wing, the guns, the engines are a little different on that. So things have evolved slightly.
Everything looks a little better.
You want to keep that original trilogy look.
You know, the guns for Star Wars were just World War II props.
Yeah.
Those are all World War II guns.
The lightsaber is a flash holder for an old camera that has, you know, the flash on the side and the big bulb. It's the flash holder. So you can buy those
original,
on eBay
the original...
Yeah, the original prop master.
Luke's original blade.
And even in episode three, when you see Anakin running around, it's that same...
Well, they started to customize the...
Yeah, eventually the later ones did, but that first one for the first movie...
Luke's second lightsaber is a custom prop.
Yeah, and the ones that Obi-Wan used and stuff were made later. Okay, so you have to keep that. And of course, for a movie, you got to do the real models, the real sets... The real effects. I think they're largely going with that. There's going to be big rubber monsters, and the BB-8, the little soccer ball droid.
Well, JJ
is actually
JJ
real.
Likes that stuff.
So
and I think he
that's
did a
good. And I think
fairly good
do
job
that.
Of that
so
in the Star Trek movie.
And the other thing, I think, as far as the plot goes, I think to me, as an old school fan, the most important thing that they have to get right in order for me to like this movie is the fate of the original trilogy characters. If the original trilogy characters, if their fates are somehow stupid or inconsistent with what I think they would have done,
you mean,
it's going to ruin these for me.
You mean like they go hide out on the planet that Darth Vader's from?
If I'm going to make a prediction, I think here's what the worst case scenario.
Luke is in a same cave.
Luke is Obi-Wan. Luke's hiding out somewhere.
Luke is
in
the exact same. Okay, everybody was
like.
Well,
that would be, yeah.
Everybody's been, there's been a lot of speculation that Luke is the villain of the piece and that he's the guy controlling.
Kylo Ren is his apprentice.
Kylo Ren. That, well, first of all, people are like, he's Kylo Ren. No, he's Kylo Ren is too skinny, and it's clearly Adam Driver.
It's Adam Driver.
The other theory is that Luke is behind the dark side of the Force.
Yeah.
Now, that would be kind of kick-ass and also kind of stupid.
But that's what I'm saying. It's inconsistent with his character. Luke has to be a good guy. I wrote that right here. Luke needs to be a good guy. And maybe he'll start as a bad guy and become a good guy through this one, but he needs to be a good guy. Okay. The other thing, they could do that. They could also have, what's the likelihood, where do we find, Han Solo and Leia aren't together, and Solo's drunk at a bar, and Chewbacca's got to go find him.
It's going to be like.
It's almost, right, they're going to do that,
I guarantee it's going to be Casablanca.
Yeah, yeah.
And that Han's been floating around the galaxy with Chewie.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're bummed out. Luke is going to be hiding in fucking Obi-Wan's cave. I guarantee.
We could be in the Dagobah system.
Yeah, no, he's going to be in Ben's cave on Tatooine.
On Tatooine, that's
it's going to be the same fucking thing.
Well, but I mean, I think that's just too pat. I mean, if you're going to write this, that's what you do is you go because you obviously you can't have Leia and Han happily living happily ever after.
Okay, the first thing I thought was didn't the Rebels win?
Yeah.
Didn't they kill the Emperor?
Well, the new movie, because I saw, spoilers, Oscar Isaac gave a thing, and there is no Empire and the Rebellion. They're called two different things.
Right.
I forgot what he said, but.
So these are basically neo-Nazis that thought the Empire was
Kylo
cool.
Well, apparently Kylo Ren, from what I can gather, and again, I've been trying to be spoiler-free on this, is like a guy who worships Darth Vader and wants to become Darth Vader.
Well, he's got Darth Vader's head in the.
Well, the Darth Vader helmet, which you see in the trailer. That was because I was actually when I was watching Jedi again. I go, well, where does this helmet end up? Is it left on the Death Star? It's actually brought to Endor
and burned.
Where he's burned, assuming he burned on Endor. He could have been burned somewhere else, but let's assume he was burned on Endor. It's
for
not
expedience.
Sure. Yeah, let's assume he's on Endor. So I guess we're gonna have a scene where Kylo Ren goes to Endor and finds the mask.
No, it is burnt on Endor because then Luke goes over to the Jub-Jub celebration.
Well, it's not. You don't see, but I'm saying, yeah. We think, yeah, it
would make sense.
It seems that way. It would make sense.
But again, we're talking about a movie about space people that doesn't make any sense making sense.
But I mean, what do you think the odds are that that's what they're going to do with Han?
Oh, I guarantee it.
That he's going to be,
no,
it's going to be
look,
like, you know,
we, you
it's going to be the African queen
by
or
way,
like one of those.
You
things.
Bought tickets to this.
I know.
We're doing this show.
I know.
I'm not looking forward to Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Well, we're going to make our predictions about whether it's good or not in a second. Okay. The other thing is I'm worried about the casting. Because I feel like they just kind of got, Girls is a hot show, let's get that guy. Game of Thrones is a hot show, we'll get the big blonde lady from that. Lupita Nyong'o just won an Oscar, well, let's get her.
Okay, Oscar Isaac, who we've seen,
worried.
By the way, we've seen the least of anybody in the movies from Oscar Isaacs.
Well, Brendan Gleeson is in this. What? He's like under a mask
Domhnall Gleeson.
Domhnall Gleeson, yeah, what does he do?
I don't know.
He's the guy from Frank. What the fuck is he doing in this movie?
He's probably,
He's a robot or
something.
He's
Darth Poopy Face.
I don't know.
He's,
all right, well, that was there's technology failing us.
Well, a little blip.
So we lost about 30 minutes of show. We're going to go back. We're wrapping up our Force Awakens talk, though. We did some crazy fan theory, which our fans will never hear now.
Right.
I feel good that now we haven't spoiled them with that theory, though, at least, because the recorder's batteries died, and we're not going to give them that little fan fiction theory. So now I've only ruined your life and your enjoyment of the Force Awakens. But I actually think it's pretty unlikely that that will be what happens anyway. But
it seems
fan theory.
Pretty.
It's a cool one.
Well, fans are nuts.
Okay. All right, let's go on then. Let's just say this. Your prediction on a scale. I mean, we do the Coringel five finger scale, so you can do it that way. Or on a scale of 1 to 10 or 5 stars or whatever. What do you predict you will like The Force Awakens as?
My best hope for The Force Awakens is that it will be competent entertainment. I don't think it's going to change my life or be revelatory. but I hope that it's a decent movie.
Yeah.
It can't be worse than the prequels. Mm-hmm. And George Lucas not being involved is actually much like Lions fans were like, oh, I can't wait till William Clay Ford dies. It's all going to get better, which didn't happen.
but you're saying, okay, for me.
George not being involved in it is good.
Because those prequels were so wretched. In 2015, that's good. I agree.
Not in 1982.
No, but you need them there in 1982.
But the prequels were so horrifically bad.
Yeah,
this can only be better.
Wash the stench of those.
My hopeful estimate is 3 fingers.
So that's a 6 or a 7?
Sure.
Okay.
That's what I'm hoping.
I'm hoping...
I can't imagine being blown away
If it's not a 7, I'll be disappointed. I'm hoping for an 8. I'm not expecting a 10. But listen, I'll be the first guy to give this a 2.
Mm-hmm.
I have no attachment, even though I love Star Wars. I said that. I don't love Empire Strikes Back. I don't love Return of the Jedi. I don't love the comic books. I don't love the toys. I don't love any of that shit. I don't like the video games. Some of those I like, but I love Star Wars. To me, you know, I mean, this is not even like, okay. If this is as good as, why don't I not know the name? The first of the new Planet of the Apes. That's as good as you can do, in my opinion.
Hmm.
Bringing a franchise back, that James Franco Planet of the Apes. That's as good as you can do it. So if it was that good, then I'm in and I say this is a great movie and I'll be completely satisfied. So I guess if it's not a 7, and that Planet of the Apes was better than that. I would say
that Daniel Craig's Casino Royale.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
Was a slam dunk.
But that didn't have as much lag time between.
Then the subsequent Daniel Craig movies
that Quantum of Solace
had been a real disappointment.
Yeah. But no, okay, Casino Royale, that's another one. So this could be as good as that. I mean, it could be, you know, Batman Begins is another one where you could go, yeah. Okay,
again,
there you go.
Stop at that then. Because
but those are reboots.
Just make one of these Star Wars. Because
but those are reboots.
I hated the second and third
Batman
movies.
Most people like
movies.
Dark Knight. You're wrong on Dark Knight. Most people think Dark Knight is great. Dark Knight Returns, okay, I'm with you. But yeah, but I think if this one is as good as that new Planet of the Apes, I don't know if that was it Rise of the Planet of the Apes or Dawn of the Planet? For some reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny. I watch so much Star Wars that I lose a little bit of Planet of the Apes, you know, brain power that I used to have when I was watching all this. So, you know, if it's a 7, I'm happy. But look, I'll be glad to give this a 3 when you hear us in a week. And again, listen. Right on that night, the evening of the 17th into the 18th, when you wake up on the 18th, you will have our review of Star
Wars
The Force
Awakens.
What time is the
movie, 7?
Unless these batteries die again, and then you won't have that.
but we'll tape it immediately, and
yeah,
Joel will
yeah.
post it as soon as he can.
As soon as I can. So there you go, Star
Wars.
It's
too bad we don't have the technology to live stream
our thoughts while we're, yeah. or just put it on... God, we could probably, I mean, we could do a live YouTube or something for it, but that means we got to have a camera, we've got to feed the audio into that or have a separate audio feed. I mean, there's ways of doing it, but I have to know that there's demand for that. I mean, if there's demand for us to live stream it, like, at 10 o'clock on that Thursday, I'll do it, but, you know, we have to either have somebody's phone.
What time is that in Yellowknife?
God, fuck if I know in Yellowknife. I think in Yellowknife, Jedi's coming out next week. I think that's how far behind they are.
Well... They got to wait because Stroker Ace is still playing. They got to wait.
Right. And then Cannonball Run 2 is coming out. Right. And then...
As soon as 9 to 5 leaves the theater, they'll be all set for Jedi.
Look, the theater's been booked by the black hole for months and months. I mean, how do they even have room for Star Wars? All right, let's...
Brewster's Millions has an appointment.
Look, we can't release the toy and still Brewster's Millions is out of the theater. That's right.
I think the toy came out before Brewster's Millions.
Brewster's Millions was even below the toy. All right. A couple other things that we saw in review. Bill Murray's Christmas special on Netflix, yeah. A Very Murray Christmas, came out. I watched the whole thing. I know Corey's been saving that to watch with his wife.
Uh-huh.
So he didn't even want to review it for the show. So he only watched parts
I watched a good chunk of it.
Well, the critics have been harsh on it, and harsh in just that this sounded like this could have been the greatest thing ever, and it isn't, and that's my review, too. Here's my problem with it. I just didn't laugh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, it wasn't funny, you know, and I know it's supposed to be that really dry Bill Murray humor, but boy, it didn't work, and you've got Amy Poehler, Chris Rock, All these great comedians in here. And
Amy Poehler was unfunny in it.
Amy Poehler did nothing funny. You know, Michael Cera shows up and has a couple lines, and he's not funny. And, you know, the singing actually is the best part about it. You know, they do this, they do a cover of the Pogues, whatever that famous Pogue, Christmas Time in New York or whatever song is. Do you know that song?
I hate the Pogues.
It's the Pogues and Kirstie McCall. It's pretty good.
I really hate that gap tooth fuck.
David Johan, gap tooth, he's barely got any.
It's like whittled tooth.
Shane McGowan, he drank himself to lost his teeth. But yeah, that's real good. And, you know, Jenny Lewis sings in it, and she's pretty good.
Jenny Lewis.
Phoenix sings in it. They're,
you know,
they play French chefs.
So they do Baby It's Cold Outside, yeah. Right? And there's a scene where Bill is singing with Jenny. Jenny Lewis is like a waitress that comes over to the table.
Yeah.
And he's flirting with her. And it's so creepy and upsetting.
Reviewers did say that not only did they that the song in general, Baby It's Cold Outside, is creepy. Like the girl's trying to leave and the guy's like, "What's cold outside? You're going to come blow me," right? Isn't that the idea? Right.
Honey, you could go out in the snow or you could get one on the chin.
How about I put some hot cock in there because it's so cold outside?
I got an avalanche for you. Look, it's
you want 8 inches? I'll give you 8 inches.
Go go!
Hey,
it's pretty it's pretty cheesy, but the rumors were that Bill Murray and Jenny Lewis hooked up.
That is the rumor, yes.
And I would say that much more than Luke being the dark side or Kylo Ren being a Wookiee, there's a 100% certitude that he knocked the bottom up Jenny Lewis.
You know,
you know Jenny Lewis is a freak. You know she's been in show business since she was 7. That girl is all access, full ports.
I mean,
look.
You're thinking, you know, lines of cocaine on the coffee table and, you know, room
she's
servers.
She's like an Imperial Star Destroyer. You can go in the garbage chute.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
R2 wasn't shutting down those compactors. Hey!
I'm saying you can sneak in the garbage chute if you want to read between the lines.
But no,
I think he fucked the hell
out
of her.
Okay, he did, but that's neither here nor there for the special. The special is...
And good on him.
Yeah,
it's not
exactly.
Like I would say,
why not? Let's do it.
I would not say
let's
no
go,
to Jenny Lewis.
By the way, send Jenny Lewis over here.
Yeah,
I'll
right,
show her.
Sure.
I'll show her the back door.
You know it's cold outside.
But yeah, it was so. To me, I think the singing. You know, Miley Cyrus shows up at
and
the end
about
and sings,
a 30% chance he fucked Rashida Jones too. I'm just throwing that out there. And
was,
if you're Bill
was,
Murray, why not?
Why not? Why not? If you're Bill Murray, I think Bill Murray probably prefers regular girls. I think he probably prefers girls who aren't, you know. Celebrities. You never really hear about him being with too many celebrities.
But if he wanted to fuck a celebrity,
I mean, Gilda, they all fucked right back in the day. I mean,
oh, they passed her in the rain around.
But yeah, I mean,
think Jane was married and went home to her husband.
Okay. Yeah,
but Jane and Lorraine and Gilda, they just would like Ackroyd would pop Gilda off his lap and just hand her to Murray.
Well, didn't they? Speaking of Star Wars, didn't they all get to bang Carrie Fisher at one point?
Spun her around.
I mean, she was with Paul Simon, but Paul Simon was always hanging around.
I'm sure that they just
Lorne and those guys.
Yeah, they played AC Deucey with her. And they. They ran bustos on her. I mean, it's
but a very Merry
Penny
Christmas.
Marshall. They fucked her too. They didn't care.
Our discussion of A Very Merry Christmas is funnier than the fucking special. It's really not great.
Williams.
They banged the shit out of her.
They both Laverne and Shirley.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Penny Marshall.
Oh yeah.
Did you draw the short straw to fuck Penny Marshall?
Penny
How
Marshall
does that work?
Was more fuckable at the time.
She had big titties.
She was in the Laverne and Shirley days. She was bad. I'd rather have Shirley.
Yeah,
but
Shirley.
I'm telling you, all those girls hung out with those guys.
But yeah, I know you're waiting to watch this with your lady.
Boy,
but
this is some cutting edge millennial business. Who fucks Cindy Williams? Tonight's episode of Troll Radio. Who fucks Cindy?
All right, tomorrow night, a very special live broadcast. Laverne or Shirley? Joel decides. Give me 24 hours to think about it. I will come back.
Wouldn't it be great if you you did it from the Oval Office?
Much as I wrote a Star Wars manifesto, which, by the way, does anyone, should I eBay, should I put this on eBay? Is this the nerdiest document?
Oh,
you haven't even seen these yet. Take a look at the manifesto.
I want to stay married. I don't want to be divorced. If I get that geek sauce on me.
You take that. I wrote a Star Wars
manifesto.
Let me
ask you. Let's ask what's really important.
Yeah.
Pinky or leather Tuscadero?
I think leather. Right?
Yeah, she's a little rougher. Laverne or Shirley.
Laverne or Shirley.
What was...
The nation decides.
What was Richie's simpy girlfriend? Oh, God.
Yeah, I forget her name. She had three names. Wasn't she married?
Yeah, Jenny. What was her goddamn... Oh, now I gotta look up Happy Days.
Yeah, you go ahead and look that up.
Oh.
But A Very Merry Christmas. I saw the whole thing. I think it gets better as it goes along. The first 15 minutes is interminably bad. So not funny. But, you know, again, this is a Roman Coppola and Sofia Coppola and that family's kind of deal. And, you know, so it has all the look of that. It actually looks pretty nice. It's a pretty
Didn't
beautiful
she direct
special.
It or something?
Yeah, Sofia directed it and Roman
well,
did
as we all know, no one's got a funnier comedic hand than Sofia Coppola. Her movies are a laugh riot. No one turns out comedy.
But for some reason, Bill feels like those are the only people and Wes
Does
Anderson.
Does her cousin show up in it? Because I didn't watch the whole thing.
Nick Cage?
No. Schwartzman.
Yeah, Jason Schwartzman's in it.
Oh, of course he is.
Yeah, of course he is. He's Rashida Jones' husband.
Oh, okay. I didn't get to that part.
Yeah, fucker.
Anyway. I cut out when Buster Poindexter showed up.
He's the best thing in it.
I know, and I like.
He sings good in that.
I like the New York Dolls.
Yeah, he's good in it. David Johansson's good, and he's probably the best thing in it.
Well, we should wrap this.
But that was just okay. If you want to watch something real good streaming, if you've got Amazon, you can now get on the Prime service. I Am Big Bird, the Carol Spinney story.
Oh,
which is a documentary about the guy who's played Big Bird. He's 70.
Jenny
years
Piccolo.
Old. Yeah, I think it was Jenny Piccolo.
Was that?
Yeah. No, because Jenny Piccolo was the sister's
was
friend.
Was the sister's, okay.
Yeah.
Joni's friend?
Joni's friend was Jenny Piccolo.
Who was
You
Richie?
Never saw Jenny Piccolo, and then you saw her eventually.
Much like eventually Vera came. On
yeah.
Cheers.
Yeah.
Who was Richie Cunningham's girlfriend?
Keep looking. Right. But the Carol Spinney story, I Am Big Bird, is great. The guy's 70, and he's now they do have a guy that will double if he doesn't want to do it.
Will take over Carol Spinney's
They got
Spinney's
a guy time? That'll do Big Bird, but he's basically been doing Big
well,
Bird.
Well, he also does Oscar.
Yeah, and he does Oscar. And it's all about, you know, how the Muppets got started.
By the way,
Jim Henson
hired I've been
him.
Goofing on Star Wars fans, and rightfully so. Yeah. You people need to get a life. But I know who did what Muppet.
But, you know, yeah,
I just,
yeah,
I
that,
want you
that,
to point
that
out.
Is nerdy.
I know.
I had to Google that while I was watching it because I was like, I got to
oh,
keep
no,
everybody
no.
straight.
I know of the original
There's
Muppeteers.
Books about,
oh, yeah. I've read Jim Henson's biography.
Jim Henson one. Yeah. By the way, I was also surprised when I was doing all this, you know, Star
I know,
Wars watching.
Okay, Frank Oz did Fozzie and... Miss Piggy, but Richard Hunt originated the character of Miss Piggy. I know
less,
who did what Muppet.
There was
okay,
less.
That's what I know.
Yeah.
That's how nerdy I am.
Hello. Your Hi, nightmare arrives.
Well, now the
in
party's
the form
over.
Of the podcast at your place.
That's right.
Corey's wife, know. Amy.
There you go. How are you?
Appearance. Well,
you,
I know.
Well, hold You're on. Just... You haven't appeared since, like, episode 54 or something.
She was in the original trilogy.
You were in
She's
the old
not,
show.
She's not been in the later ones.
What are your, what are your, how... Your,
what
how,
is what is Richie Cunningham's wife's name?
Oh yeah,
you know
how
that.
Fired up were you to see the new Star Wars? What is your on a scale of 1 to 5? What's your anticipation level?
I would say a 1.5. I don't know.
Yeah,
hear
low.
Her. She said a 1.5.
Low expectation.
Yeah, well, good. Then she won't be ruined when we.
Lori Beth. That was
Lori Beth. Okay.
That was the wife
Sounds
that
good.
Richie ran away with at the end of the show. All right.
So anyway, that was. So anyway, so yeah, go see this. I Am Big Bird. It's very good.
All right,
very good. But you knew all the puppeteers' names. I didn't, but it was interesting to me. And then he like does the thing where like, do you know how Big Bird works? Because that's in there too.
His arm is up this way.
Yeah, the mouth is his right hand, and Big Bird's left hand is his left hand.
Right.
And then there's like a fishing line that moves. The right hand is like balanced between his mouth. And his left hand.
You're ruining the magic.
So when he moves his... No, but it's really fascinating how they do Big Bird. And it's pretty, like, tough job. And this is, like, a really old dude doing it. And,
well, you know, a lot of the Muppets now run on what they call a Waldo.
Yeah.
Which is an animatronic... like, they can run the face with an animatronic...
Okay,
controlling... Yeah, a remote control device. But they run Big Bird the old-fashioned way.
Yeah.
They it's could great. Just have him run his arms through it and somebody else works the head.
Yeah.
But no, he likes
well,
to
Well, they like that it can walk around and they show, you know, Big Bird went to China back in...
Well, did you know...
It was amazing.
Oscar
it was, great stuff.
Was originally positioned the wrong way.
Oh, my God.
Most of the Muppeteers work with their right hand.
Yeah.
And that's why, if you look, the Muppets always use their left hand.
Yeah.
And their right hand usually just kind of dangles. Huh. because they're using their right hand to run the puppet.
And then somebody else, but one guy does one hand, and then the guy does the mouth.
When Rolf plays the piano, there's a guy working the fingers.
I'm with you.
Oscar started out, they built the set the wrong way. Built the trash can the wrong way. Yeah. So you had to run him from the left hand, and then they had to rebuild the whole thing. Well, thank you. Nerdery.
Yeah, that's nerdery. If it wasn't enough nerdery on the show. But watch it, and I'll tell you what.
I could do another 2-hour show about the Muppets.
And no, we're not going to do that. By the way, you might cry during this, I Am Big Boy.
I'm probably
very sad, because his wife. It's not sad, like tragic sad. It's
by
like
the way, before
sad,
we knew that he was paying Twinks off, the Elmo documentary
the
was pretty good.
The Elmo. Kevin Clash as the
Elmo. Some of that, by the way, has been proven to be false.
Oh, really?
There were a bunch of guys that ran to like claim money from him.
Oh, okay.
And it seems some.
But
of them,
he still had to get the fuck out of there.
I think one or two of them was probably true, but.
And by the way, doing all my Star Wars research, and I always sort of assumed this, and maybe this was what we just thought at the time, but you know, there was very little Muppet. In fact, aside from Frank Oz, and you know, Henson would come to the set and stuff.
Well, wasn't
there
the,
was no
one, the
Muppet?
One, the one Muppet Salacious guy. Crumb.
I don't think so. He was designed.
They weren't the Henson characters.
They were not designed by Henson. They were designed by Stuart Freeborn.
Yeah,
who modeled Yoda after his own face, and they were all done by the Star Wars guys that they hired.
Other than Frank Oz,
Oz to do Yoda. But the actual Yoda puppet was not built by Jim Henson.
Which, by the way,
nor were any of those, the
no, it's
Jabba
not. A,
characters.
It's not a Henson. Production.
It's not a Henson thing. Yeah, but Henson. The thing was, I think some of those Henson. I think in between the second and third one made Dark Crystal, and so there was a lot of like the Dark Crystal tech sort of ended up in Jedi.
Because they shot those, in
but it wasn't.
In England
it wasn't
as well.
Actually a Henson thing.
Yeah. Look how we're so nerdy.
We're so nerdy. All right. Anything else here? No, I think that's it.
So
Nathan for you is very good on Comedy
Central. What was your final review on Murray?
Oh, shit. On the Joel Radio, the five finger scale, 2?
Yeah. All right. I give it about a 2.5.
Haven't finished it.
Well, I haven't finished it, but to me, it's just Bill Murray doing Bill Murray.
Well,
and that's what's been. But you know what? That's kind of a problem with what Bill Murray has done.
Bill Murray
for the last few years. He
and
tried
I said
to
this
get
before.
Serious.
I think Bill Murray is going to be looked at by a lot of young people now as like what we thought of Bob Hope when we were kids, and what we thought of George Burns. And, you know, Groucho and these people, where they're just kind of like these old guys, and everyone thinks they were the funniest man in the world at one point. And I kind of see Bill Murray going that way.
It is not.
He wasn't good on those last few Lettermans that he did, were not funny like they were.
It is not as bad as that for him, but he's lost his fastball.
Well.
And I don't know if I said that already. I might have said that on the original cut.
Yeah, I know.
But
anyway. we have now the director's cut.
I know.
This is the special edition of Joel Radio that we had to replace.
I will say that I think Bill Murray's just his shtick is a little out of style.
Yeah, well, it's.
The irony thing. Because the first 20 minutes of that are like, I don't want to do this special.
Yeah.
And it's behind the scenes. And all of that was real cool in 1978.
Yeah.
Like when. Andy Kaufman did his special where they would be, he'd be like a real asshole. And then they'd be like, you're on Mr. Kaufman. Okay.
Well, listen,
that was hilarious. At
when
the time.
You've seen Bill Murray be as great as he was in all those movies for all those years, what's there left to do?
No.
I mean, you're all gonna, you know, though, if he's Groucho, then, you know, Stripes and Meatballs were his, you know, A Night at the Opera and A Day at the Races. And then, you know, now he's doing whatever, so
it's kind of, we see comedians do this all the time where they might come out, I don't know. We're always, and I know this makes me sound like a bigger asshole than I usually sound, but when a guy comes out in a wheelchair or something, he's going to get an audience bump.
Yeah.
Because they're going to go, oh, look at the wheelchair guy.
Yeah.
Or if a celebrity comes out,
somebody,
they're like, oh, remember he was on Full House.
Yeah.
And then the guy comes out and stinks. I'm not naming names, but the guy comes out and stinks up the joint.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
There's a couple potential.
Yeah, okay, I know what you mean.
But the guy comes up, stinks up the joint.
Yeah.
Because he's terrible.
Yeah.
But guys, they give him.
Yeah,
they'll give him. You know what they'll do? They'll give him a 20-minute buffer before they start going, this guy sucks.
Are you saying Murray's different because he's.
No, I think.
He's a guy that continued to work and
that
he's.
Bill Murray
not...
is still getting that bump from people going, oh, you're Bill Murray?
Yeah.
And me, you know what? I can't really get mad at that special and go, boy, did I hate that.
No.
But because it's still Bill Murray and I go, I like Bill Murray, but it's losing, he's losing.
I just think that
it's not
loses.
Bob Hope though.
No, but I felt
speaking of Bob Hope, They've been running an infomercial for the Bob Hope specials. Have you seen that yet?
How many have you ordered?
Oh, my shit. Do you need to watch that? They are horrible. Like, oh, I knew good. That those Bob Hope specials were bad when I was a
well,
kid.
Well, he was reading off cue cards.
Well,
and
you know, he'd be like, here's Brooke Shields. Well, and they bring Brooke Shields out. And then the worst was, like, they do a thing where, like,
they would bring out the college football
Heisman All-Americans.
Yeah, the All-Americans.
Yeah. And those guys would come out, and they couldn't read a cue card either. Yeah. But these, you watch these clips, man, and they're terrible. Like,
but maybe those have some, like, nostalgia where you go, wow, this is what TV was like in the day, and you see all those people in the same place.
Somewhat.
Maybe this Murray thing in 10 or 15 years right. will become sort of legendary because it was where all those people were.
Well, maybe.
All right, let's wrap this up.
I've had enough.
For the sake of your wife,
yeah,
who's only heard 5 minutes of this and still hates it.
I know.
Is she aware that this is Star Wars World Headquarters next week?
Amy?
Should we break it to her? Let's get her out here.
Oh, Amy.
You are wanted. Why don't you come over to this mic? Because this is... Or she can talk on yours. Okay. Or you can talk on this
mic. You know, we are going to be doing this again next week.
Yeah. Next week, the plan is for Corey and I, we've put our plans together, and we are going to watch Star Wars The Force Awakens at the earliest possible screening that you can get into. And
what
then
is the earliest possible
screen? 7 o'clock next Thursday, the 18th. And then the plan is to come back and immediately cut a review
and since we're
in podcast form.
Over there.
Well, Corey wants to do it here. I will gladly host that, but it's easier to do it here, I guess, in that way. And that's the plan for next week. So
just prepping you.
If you're...
Our house is your house. Oh, come on in.
If you want to take a girl's night out, that might be the one. If you want to spend a night.
No, you're going
to
want to hear my...
You want to have a sleepover.
You're going
to
hear
braid each other's hair.
Poe Dameron
next
theories.
Thursday, yeah. Or...
What about Poe Dameron?
Yeah.
Ooh. Well,
yeah, that's the idea. That's going to be the next show we do. So look forward to that, people. Amy, right. Look forward or look
and then
look away.
And then maybe Amy will give her thoughts about the Bill Murray special after you watch
it. Yeah, you have to watch that, which you've already shit on.
Before we go, any streaming recommendations? What have we been watching?
You watch all that stuff, so.
Casual is really good. I like that.
Where's that on?
That's on Hulu.
Okay.
Or you can get the Amazon version of that, which is called Catastrophe, which is good, too.
But what do you mean the Amazon version?
They're both like,
they're just the same. They're not the same show.
And
we're having
some drama.
Oh, okay.
So,
Rob Delaney or Rob?
Like knocks up a Brit, yeah.
Okay. Casual has Michaela Watkins and the girl from the blonde, one of the blondes from the show that also.
Oh, Happy Endings?
Yeah, okay.
Eliza Coop, yeah.
Eliza Coop, yeah.
So
very naked. More sex in the Hulu version.
There you go.
All right, so
and Fargo season 2 is
yeah, great. I haven't seen that, but I'd like to see that. I saw some of season 1 and it was good.
Yeah, super good.
Fargo's good. All right, Fargo's good. We'll watch that. All right,
there you go. A little cameo.
Thank
at
you,
the
Amy,
end of the show.
For all the right. streaming advice. As I forced Corey to watch some of the Bill Murray special.
Oh, and Man in the High Castle is really good for a certain audience. Don't expect it's very slow moving.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's set in a world where the Nazis and the Japs won.
Okay.
The Japanese.
Yeah, I need to see that.
But so they won and they sort of split the world up. They're now having a cold war between themselves. Mm. A real interesting show, slow building.
That's also on Amazon.
That's on Amazon.
And I know Transparent season 2 is coming out this week.
You were a big Transparent.
And I like what I saw of Transparent season 1. Didn't see all of it.
Yeah, the
it
first episode is the big lesbian wedding, so that's fun.
Okay, all right. There you go. What can I tell you? All right, let's get out of here. Joel Radio, thank you, Corey.
Hey.
Thank you, Amy.
There we go.
Thank you for hosting the show today, because it was...
Well,
Corey had no car. That was part
special
of it. But this was the dry run for Star Wars.
We're getting ready.
This is the dry run for the Star Wars special. And then you don't... Now, how many... Because we were talking, I think we came to like 20 or so. How many costume geeks we could get from the theater that we could back here? Does that sound right, Amy? Is that 20?
Sure.
Is that too many?
Oh, you can do 20.
You can cook and prepare drinks for 20. Okay, sounds good.
We're gonna go get those.
Corey said you would do that for us.
Have to go get that big bag of Tostitos pizza rolls.
Absolutely, and you're gonna
fire those up.
You're gonna make the R2-D2 cookies, right? That they're selling at Farmer Jack. Let's get out of here.
There's no Farmer Jack. There hasn't been a Farmer Jack since 1990.
Well, after Empire Strikes Back, my mom took me to Farmer Jack.
Oh, did she?
And I got a tumbler with R2-D2 on it.
Did you go to Farrell's and get a root beer float, too?
Let's go.
All right. I'm actually...
Yes.
I actually have a woman that lives with me.
All right, I actually just...
We just spent 90 minutes debating force lightning, and now we're sitting here.
Actually, it turns out the batteries didn't die. They just hated the show.
Oh, okay.
That's why they stopped working. All right, we're out of here. Joel Radio with Star Wars next week. Get ready. No one's ready. We're not.
What if Panda Baba Thing were doing instead of anger? Because his father was killed by a woman.
Yes. All right, I got to end this.